B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Yo, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, and it's a Wednesday. We like to have fun on Wednesday with General Knowledge Wednesday, but it is a somber Wednesday because these teams are giving us squat. I mean, let's face it, the Eagles and the Phillies are killing this fan base, killing it. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. We can't get a calm breath in this city. 2 days of angst after the Eagles lose on Sunday. Last night, the Phillies blow a doubleheader. They've lost four straight. They're going to find themselves out of the playoffs. It's almost impossible not to make the playoffs with where they were. And, of course, last night, it doesn't go well for them. And there are a lot of people that haven't examined the manager's part in this. This has all been about the general manager. And, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I don't think Girardi's done a spectacular job this year. I think Girardi's made a lot of mistakes that Gabe Kapler would have been castigated for. But like last night. And we'll get into this in a second. But, you know, the Phillies are playing with hurt players, right? JT Realmuto looks hurt. Bryce Harper looks hurt. They're going out there and they're trying to play. Whether you think that's good or not, whether they should perform in a hurt condition, I don't know. They're dying. You can look at a team and just see a team that is just dying. They're on a respirator. And there is no reason, I'm firmly convinced at this point, even if they make it, they're just going to make it by the skin of their teeth. And they have absolutely no chance to do anything in the playoffs. The general manager has to go. He really does. I've now come to that conclusion. They've done it. It's based on performance on the moves that they've made. And they haven't done anything with them. They're not a good team. So the moves they've made have backfired. The moves they've made have not been made with enough precision, enough knowledge to make them a better team. And whether it's his fault or not, whether he had good intentions or not, the end result is that they have failed. And there's going to have to be a change at the end of the year. I'm sorry, but John Middleton has to look at this situation. If we're crazy, and the guy owns the team, he's watching this in real time. And it's just falling apart. Now, last night, there was one moment of the game, which is really interesting because we used to criticize Gabe Kapler for his approach to analytics. Now, last night was a classic example of analytics versus conventional. We trust Girardi because he mixes analytical with conventional, right? So last night, the analytics would say that he should have left Adam Morgan in the game last night against Michael A. Taylor in the second inning. Or was it the third? Third inning? Whenever it was. So he gets an inning and a third out of Adam Morgan, and he looks at the numbers. And the numbers say, and they're right in front of him, and everybody's got the numbers right in front of him, Michael A. Taylor's 1-for-13 against Adam Morgan. Now, that's a lefty going against a righty, right? So Girardi decides to go conventional. And he brings in David Phelps, who's coming off, I guess, an okay outing. He's been pitching better lately, though he did give up a big home run this last time out. He decides to go conventional and oppose the analytics. And he brings in a right-hander who doesn't get Michael Taylor out. And so now you can second guess. Then I'm thinking to myself, okay, Kapler would have looked at the chart and probably left Morgan in there, right? Because that's what the analytics say. And that's why he got buried. So, like, who knows what works in baseball? All I can tell you is this manager hasn't made a difference. He hasn't. I'm sorry. People are like, just have a game win difference. He hasn't made a difference at all. Now, a lot of that's because of the personnel he's been handed by the general manager, who have already said has to go. But it's just, you watch this team and you watch the way they lose, and it's like, they're like Pigpen in the old Peanuts commercial. I mean, the comic strip. Well, they've got like this black cloud following them. There's no zip. There's no belief that they're going to get things done. And that's the team that they've created. That's the team this administration has created. So McPhail's got to go. Klentak's got to go. And you got to start all over now. You know, at one point, the Phillies were looking up. It was an upward curve. And now it's just disgraceful. It's killing people in this town. The Eagles and Phillies are killing people in this town. I don't know what more to say about it. It's a terrible sports town to live in right now.
It's miserable, and I hate when it's this miserable. On Sunday morning, the Phillies had an 81% chance of making the playoffs, and now it's down to 35% that quickly. And we needed the Phillies to buffer us in between Eagles games. I don't think that was too much to ask. You're playing a last-place team. Just split the doubleheader yesterday. I don't think that was too much to ask. And instead, we get stabbed once again. And at what point, Mike, will somebody who actually makes real decisions be held accountable? This is the sixth highest payroll in baseball. And they're going to miss the playoffs in which eight teams in each league.
Is there any question in your mind that Clem Tack's not going to survive? He's not going to survive. There's no way he can survive. It was just like Kapler. At the dead days of Kapler, we knew that they were going to make a move. They had to make a move. They're forced to make a move. And the same, and Klentak's in the same spot now. They can't not make a move.
And I feel bad because he's a nice guy. I've met him personally. Obviously, Mike. Obviously, you have. Mm-hmm. Natalie. Obviously, you have. He's a nice guy. But at some point, some of his moves have to work. And those bullpen moves stunk. Like sometimes you have to be graded on your performance. And all I was asking was, this Eagles thing is miserable. Just get a couple of wins so we have something else other than Eagles misery. And instead, it's almost like they're intentionally making it worse.
You know, it's funny because I don't care to hear from anybody anymore. I don't care. Like the Eagles have said, they make Schwartz available, and I go, blah, 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 blah. Carson Wentz, it's the same old Carson Wentz. Blah, 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 blah. I don't even want to hear from him anymore. I'm tired of hearing him try to talk about this whole situation. And then today, Peterson goes snarky on a reporter. It's like, go away.
Yeah.
Just go away. I can't even want to hear from you guys anymore.
And Klentak addressed the media yesterday. And he's talking, oh, this and that and all this mess. This team, this organization stinks. And you asked last week about which owner, you know, GM, like, do you trust? Look at the Phillies now. Look at them. Look at them.
Eagles and Phillies, you are killing these people. You're killing these people in town. Seriously. And people are walking around, they're gutted with this miserable situation. And the Eagles may lose to Cincinnati.
Yeah,
imagine, it's not going to get any better. Where do you see this thing getting better?
As if this year isn't bad enough.
It's not going to get better.
It's not going to get better. And the coach, all of a sudden, he was a Hall of Fame football. All of a sudden, he's Brett Favre. He wasn't just holding the clipboard for Brett Favre. He's Brett Favre now, telling people off. Who in the hell does he think he is now about playing football? Yes, you coached the Super Bowl. Like, I can't take that away. But as a player, you were barely more experienced than me. And you're talking trash to people as a player? Come on, man. We're in the twilight zone.
We'll play that. See, there's a couple of answers if you're a snarky reporter like me, because, you know, those reporters do a good job taking that kind of crap. They really do. I'll give them credit because there's an answer to what he said to that Jimmy Kemsky. That would have stopped the coach in his tracks. But they have to stay back. I understand. So I respect them. But those kind of things light me up.
Well, now can be muted, too. We don't know what would have happened if it was in a natural...
They mute him. It's a back and forth.
And it depends. If you ask a question, they kind of think they don't mute you right away.
Let's get to the answer right away. Do we have the cut? I got to get this off.
Yeah, I got the question and the answer.
I get it off my chest here. All right, so this is... we had the question and the answer?
Yep.
All right. This is Jimmy Kemsky asking Doug Peterson the question.
Hey, Doug, Carson had great protection all day. He wasn't sacked. I think he only got knocked down once. And I know you were asked Monday why he's missing throws, and it's an assortment of reasons. But some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups.
All right, you can stop right there. Have you played football in the National Football League? And if it's me, I go, no, I haven't. Did you? Like just like that, right? right. And that would be it. Now, but the other more conventional answer would be, well, are you suggesting that anybody who hasn't played professional football cannot observe something? And then you see what his answer was to that. See, that, I like that kind of back and forth. That yeah. There's this snarky me answer, which would have been, I don't know, did you? Or there's the other one where you go, are you suggesting that people that look at football can't really interpret anything if they haven't played football? Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
I mean, who does he think he is when he says that? He think he really is? Like, he's Joe Montana?
I get it. He was in the NFL. I get it. Listen, he wore an NFL uniform. It's great. He's a tremendous achievement. And I put myself in his place, and I go, yeah, these guys, what do these guys know about a sport that I rose to the level where I got into the NFL? I get that.
But dude, it's like, come on. It wasn't even like a personal attack on him.
Even on him. No. It was really backing up. He left the door open for all those questions. When he throws the, that's a good question, and that's unacceptable. If he did the right thing as a head coach and was savvy at a press conference, like all the other good coaches, he might tamp down some of those questions. He actually threw his quarterback to the wolves. So, of course, you're going to get more of those questions, Doug. You did that. You created that.
All right. Well, anyway, it's Jenna Law's Wednesday. And it's also, we have the football pool going on, so we're suffering hard, man. We are, the fan base is just getting beaten down. And so if you feel that way, or if there's a glimmer of optimism in your soul, I'd like to hear about that too. And as we play General Knowledge Wednesday, so the prize today for General Knowledge Wednesday, well, this is pretty cool. We're giving away booze.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Four lucky listeners today will receive a bottle of D.B. Johnston straight bourbon, a mermaid shirt, and two Glencairn tasting glasses, all courtesy of Mermaid Spirits Distillery. Now, what are they? They are a small craft distillery in Huntington Valley, right? The intersection of Davisville and County Line Road, if you know where that area is. And they offer distinctive styles of rum, vodka, and bourbon, perfect neat or on the rocks with the mermaids. Mermaid Spirits Distillery. I get some of that bourbon. They sent me some vodka. I get a little bourbon. A little D.B. Johnson with a cigar.
There you go.
All right, so we're giving away a bottle of straight bourbon, mermaid shirt, tasting glasses for four lucky listeners today. And the general knowledge questions today are general knowledge. Name a valid answer, music. Now, Natalie, this is how that goes.
Okay. Like,
if I say to you, give me a female singer with at least four number one hits in the 90s, and I ask you to give me two of them, could you give me two of them?
Mariah Carey and Celine Dion?
No, that would be incorrect.
Really? Whitney Houston?
Yes, that's correct.
I was going
to
go Houston.
Whitney used to be correct. So sometimes I'm just going to ask for one. Sometimes I'm going to ask for multi.
Man, I'm really mad at myself now.
All right. NFL quarterbacks category. And finally, this is the interesting one we're going to do today. This football pool that we're doing, the baby pool with all kinds of prizes, one of the prizes in it is this. It's actually a new game. I haven't even cracked it open yet. It's got the cellophane off it, but I haven't cracked open the cards yet. It's the Godfather trivia game.
Ooh.
This is in the pool. So I'm going to take some questions from this game. See, they're still in the pack. I have not opened them.
Nice.
And we're going to ask the questions directly from the packs.
Nice.
The questions. And this game, look, it's got the little squirt pad.
Uh-huh.
And see, can you look closely? Who is that? That's the Don. That's Michael with the hat.
Oh,
the new Don with the when he put the hat on.
Oh, cute! I can't
really.
I'll
have
to come
see
in.
It.
No,
see it from here. Just see it on TV. It's a bunch of Michael Corleones.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
And of course, you know this guy. You know?
Sure. I don't know. That's I don't know what to say.
It's Vito.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the Fonz.
What does he say? What's like the thing?
He doesn't say, hey, that's the Fonz. Got another jacket?
Hello. I don't know.
Oh, my. 610-632-09 says hello. That's what he says. Hello.
Hello.
610.
How goes it?
632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show is on 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It is a Wednesday, General Knowledge Wednesday day. And, of course, the 2 o'clock hour is presented by Ferguson, the HVAC line. Conklin, attention, all you HVAC contractors out there, Ferguson has a counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia where you can get equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll for today in this miserable sports climate that we live in. Today's Twitter poll, as always, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, go to Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doyle Sound. They have it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie Eganoff, today's Twitter poll.
Thanks, Mike. Over 100 votes on this one early. Will Klentak and McPhail survive this offseason? 1% say Klentak will. 20% say McPhail will. 55% say neither will. And 24% say both will. So,
yeah, both have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, mm-hmm. If you're out there listening, you know it. You knew that Kapler had to go. You know that the GM has to go. Now, you gave it a shot. You thought he was a young guy. You trusted McPhail. Didn't work out. No results. Sorry. So, you got to move on. And, you know, I am reminded of that line in your favorite movie, Tyrone Moneyball, where Greg Houston, the scout, goes up to Billy Bean and says, Billy, you are killing this team. Oh, no, it was Art Howe who said that. Art Howe, the manager, said, Billy, you are killing this team.
Yeah.
And the Eagles and Phillies are killing this town. You're killing this town right now.
And why is it so bad? Because we've had bad Eagles and we've had bad Phillies before. Like, this isn't new, them both stinking mm-hmm. at the same time. But this one feels worse. It's hurting me more. I guess it could be just because of the pandemic and all of the wretchedness of 2020. But this feels like nothing's ever going to get better. It feels like I'm in a black hole.
And that's why it's bothering you. Because you don't see anything good ahead.
When was the last time it felt this bad? 2013?
You see, this is a very different feeling. That's why the Flyer fans are kind of bullied. Because they go, okay, we're kind of next up. We know that. You look at this thing, and it's more than just the season. It's like, where do we go now? Because as we talked about yesterday, we may be talking about a transition of quarterbacks. So we have to forget about that whole era that they threw in our face. This is the new era. He's the guy.
Well, at least we know. You, Mike, you were aware. We said it. We knew this in April, though. Other people are going to be caught by surprise. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. We knew. Like, when the quarterback thing happens, they'll go, you know, this wasn't planned. That's how it's going to get spun. You know, it wasn't planned. Wentz just wasn't really delivering. Mm-hmm. So we decided, you know, it just happenstance that we happen to have this quarterback right here. And who knows? We knew that's why they drafted him from minute one. But they'll pretend other people are like, you know, it's the darndest thing. I can't believe this Hurts guy's playing. Shocked. Can't believe it.
There's a voice.
It's the darndest thing. All right, let's go to phones. Rich on a cell. You're on 97.5 tonight.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Rich.
I have a fantasy question, and I want to talk about the Eagles.
Yes, sir.
Would you trade Stephon Diggs for Mark Ingram or no?
Huh?
I have Stephon Diggs.
Why would I care about that?
It's just a question. I'm just curious.
Well, save that for Eric Carabel.
Okay, my next question is about the Eagles. If we lose to the Bengals Sunday, at what point do you hold the people accountable Especially if Carson has another bad game.
Who would I hold accountable?
Yeah.
The quarterback?
The quarterback. And would you also hold Coach Cannibal, too, on top of it?
Yes, I would.
Because when
they lose, the coach is always accountable in some form.
And I don't even think we're going to win the way that we can't tackle on defense at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be right.
They might lose to Cincinnati.
And they can't even.
They're a big favorite, though. They're 6.5-point favorite.
Right? Yeah, I understand.
Oh, it's down to 6 now. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And it's like they don't tackle. And sometimes when you leave the defense out there all the time when your offense is not playing, that doesn't help a lot either.
Yeah, I know. Would you like general knowledge question here, Rich?
No, I'm good, Mike. Thanks.
You're good? Yeah, chance to win some booze, man.
Yeah, I'm good.
A little sip of bourbon. It might work out.
Yeah. It got me out of the point where I don't know if I'm even watching the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. You sound down a little bit. You're worried about Stephon Diggs and Mark Ingram out of the shoot. Come on, man. Really? What was that?
Yeah, that was terrible. Anthony, just hit me to something just now.
What's that?
So in the we played the audio of his of Dougie, yeah, with Jimmy Kempsky.
Uh-huh.
In the transcript, the Eagles put jokingly, "Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?"
In the transcript, who put what?
The Eagles put
PR staff.
Yes, put jokingly.
Hold on,
if he was joking.
Well, they're gonna, they're covering their butt.
Come on, man. Wait, what are we stupid? What is happening? Like they're gaslighting us? Is that what we're doing? I don't need. You're already 0-2. Don't make me mad with more lies. You've been lying to me the whole time.
That's what Kayleigh McEnany does every day.
I can't have it. I can't have it, Mike.
That's exactly what
you
does
lied.
All the lies
between the Lane Johnson lie and all the injury lies and all these other lies and the Jalen Hurts lie. Then you're going to lie to me about something petty like this. Like, I can't have it. You're 0-2. Like, I don't think they understand. I know they're the Eagles. And when the crowds open up, they'll be back to selling out. But I don't think this particular regime knows just how hard people turn on the Eagles when they're bad. I don't think they get it. And they're poking the bear a lot, which is just going to lie, just going to tell everybody, I was joking. You weren't joking.
Okay, Lee.
That's what you're doing? He wasn't joking.
That's Kaylee.
That's just the way the world works now.
That's the way they spin. The PR staff spin stuff like that.
It's the way the world works now.
Like, that's what happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. They don't want to look bad.
Just
by putting it out there, so they have to cover his butt.
It's a transcript.
I don't blame them.
It's a transcript.
Yeah, but I don't blame them.
All right, so who told them to do? So they did that on their own.
Of course. How many times have we dealt with PR staffs that will do stuff like that to make the organization look as good as they can?
I'm looking
at it all the time.
I'm gonna look at it now.
Jokingly.
So the people that didn't hear it read it and they go, "Oh, he was joking."
So it's not it's sinister?
It's just a cover-up. It's a PR stand. I can bet you sit it down, whoever wrote that, you stand with a beer, and he'll go, "Yeah, I did. See what I did?" Come on.
Joke.
All right, let's go to Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael.
What's up, Gene? How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm kind of annoyed by this Phillies thing, because as you touched on at the opening, Harper, Renuto, all these guys that are playing her, why? What's the point? I mean, to make the playoffs in an asterisk season? I don't get it. It's like,
what do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? Shut it down?
Yes.
Well, come on. You got to play to the end, try to make the playoffs. You can't shut it down.
Again, with this season and the way, like I told you way back when, I'd have been perfect with them just shutting it down altogether and saying, "We're waiting for..."
Well, but they didn't shut it down, and they played, and so you got a competition. You can't bail out on competition.
But at this point, I think they should. I think it's the better way to go. Because, like you said, they need to...
Come on, Gene, it's silly. What do you have to gain if you bail out? There's nothing to gain.
But, what's the gain if they don't?
The gain is to try to still make the playoffs. It's still a possibility.
Again, like I said, the playoffs this year are different. Because
it doesn't matter. There's still playoffs. As long as there's still playoffs and they're playing for a championship, why would you not want to participate?
It's not that I don't want to participate, but I guess for me it's more of
participation at what cost?
What's the cost? Well, I don't get your cost. What, Bryce Harper going to lose a leg? Is he in the battlefield? Guys get hurt. They're athletes. They get hurt. They're trying to gun it out, playing hurt.
I'm more concerned about the catcher because of, you know, what we gave up to get him.
Well, what do you care about the catcher? You can still sign him. Even if he's hurt to the end, you can still choose to sign him.
I'd rather have him healthy than hurt. That's all.
Why? How does it benefit you? How does it benefit you if he ends the season healthy or hurt? What's the difference?
You mean me personally?
In general, what's the difference? I don't get your point here. What? He's hurt. He's playing hurt. So what? He ends the season hurt. What's the big deal?
I guess to me, my point is, others may sound silly, like you said, but to me, the point is, why are we pushing so hard to make the book? Even if you win the World Series this year, you're going to have an asterisk.
Jeez, gee, you are a man.
I know.
You're a miserable. Good Lord. All right, man. Listen, you want a general knowledge question? All right, here's the general knowledge question. What jewelry store uses boxes that are robin egg blue?
That would be Tiffany.
That's correct. Hold on. You are a qualifier. Tiffany.
Yes.
What do you mean, yes?
I don't know. I love breakfast at Tiffany's. I love the yellow Tiffany's diamond that sits in the case in New York.
Okay. Today's general knowledge is presented by Tesla North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Tesla. Listen, these guys are gutting it out. They're trying to play hurt. They're not performing, right? Bryce Harper's not performing. But people understand he's trying to play. Ty, so you're kind of upset that he's not performing that because he's hurt.
Yeah, because what I try to do is be consistent with the city.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid's not allowed to be hurt. Gets ripped for it. Carson Wentz definitely got a concussion. People ripped on him. Before he even started playing bad, they ripped him for getting a concussion. Said he was soft. Mm-hmm. And Ben Simmons, people were ripping him for the knee and the back that he had this year. Yet Bryce Harper, no. I have been told by the fans that injuries are not an excuse and are not allowed. Therefore, you're the highest paid player. You can't go 0-15 in the most important stretch of the season.
Of course they're allowed.
I was told they're not allowed.
If you're playing injured, people know it. They give you points for playing injured in this town.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They used to. They don't with Wentz. They don't with Embiid.
The label they gave to those other players is that they're injury prone.
Harper's had tons of injuries in his career. He couldn't make it through a 60-game baseball season this year. This isn't a wear and tear over 162.
He's making it through 60 games. It's not like he's sitting out. He's trying to play.
Yeah. Switched back to 0-15.
Yeah.
Him and Nola stunk. They cut our hearts out. They're just as responsible because I don't got to worry about a stinking bullpen or going 0-2 if Nola takes care of his business and Nola did have bad defense. Moniak, he shouldn't be here. So
let me ask you a question. What's the alternative that you see for Bryce Harper? If he's hurt and he can't play at 100% because he's hurt, but he's still trying to play, what's the alternative? What do you want him to do?
I don't want him. I want him to perform.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes when you're hurt, you can't perform.
I agree with that. But I need consistency from the fan base, and I don't get that, and that bothers me. I don't like this, Tyrone, you like Embiid, this and that, but this Bryce Harper could just be the highest paid player in the city and just coast through stinking team implodes.
But it's different.
His team is imploding.
Those guys that you brought up have been injured a lot, so the label is injury prone. It's not fair, but that's the label they get. Bryce Harper hasn't played here long enough to be considered injury prone.
I agree with that, and I think he is gutting it out. But I'm saying that I need consistency from the fan base and not this guy's this and that, then this guy gets nothing.
When are you going to get consistency from a fan base?
I need it. I got to hold people accountable.
But that's why they're fans. They're not consistent.
I'm all for. Also, I think it was fair. They were in the playoffs over the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's Wednesday, and they're out.
Yeah.
Some of that has to go to the best player and the ace pitcher. Like, the bullpen's garbage. The bullpen is garbage.
The ace pitcher's not hurt, so maybe, you know, more on his shoulders.
It's just something about this is bothering me that we're picking and choosing when it comes to our stars. I like to hold all the stars accountable or not. whatever's fair, I'll do. So if it, is it no big deal to go 0 for 15 in the most important games of the season? Because to me, it's something.
It's not okay to go 0 for 15.
But organically, no one sees that and goes, huh, be nice if Bryce Harper could,
Bryce is on the other side of like being protected right now. Like Girardi's on the other side of being protected. Some guys are on that side. There's a chance that both will cross over to the point where the scrutiny will be hotter.
And I just want
it right now.
And I just want it fair. I don't want people going out of their way to rip them because I like Bryce Harper.
It'll fairen out.
Okay.
By the way, speaking of injuries, Jalen Reagor will miss a few weeks. He is out with a UCL tear in his thumb. Does that mean surgery?
It depends. Drew Brees had that injury last year. Very similar. I believe he had the surgery. He has to throw. It was 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Since he doesn't have to throw, the thinking is it would be less, but it's a few week injury.
And it depends on how bad the tear of the ulnar collateral ligament. That's the ligament that was torn. Mm-hmm. It says it could be a splint or a wrist splint for a couple weeks. Or, if it's a total tear, then it's surgery. Mm. So it depends how torn it is.
Oh, not good.
So now, Hightower's back in the mix. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, they said that the snitch will be back October 1 probably from the foot. I don't know if you have much of a choice. If he's going to miss a few weeks, you got to go back to Alshon as soon as you can, unfortunately. You don't have a choice. You literally don't have a choice. Because you can't trust Hightower and Ward to be your main guys opposite to Sean Jackson. Eagles are in trouble, Mike. This keeps getting worse. It just got worse with what you just said. Keeps getting worse.
That's good. Mike at Creekside. Oh, Mike. What's up, Mikey?
excuse me. Hello, Natalie and Jen. Mike, I'd like to respectfully disagree with you about Carson and the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every sport from boxing to NASCAR, there is a coach. I don't know whether you call them managers or whatever nomenclature you use. Now, the purpose of a coach, which we don't know, I don't know how much you get to training camp or not, but especially like with Carson's, which we have not seen him regress it, like I said, you might not like to hear it ever since the guy went to Indianapolis, is that we don't know if Carson, between all the injuries, has a hitch in his throw, whether his footing is bad or it's not coordinated to throw the passes. That is what a coach is supposed to do, to be able to sit and see if whatever flaws there is and then talk to the player trying to correct the thing. Right now, as you said, there is a situation where they're trying to undermine him. So I don't think he's getting a coach, and we do not know if there is a problem. And
why would you presume that no one is trying to coach him that way?
Because no one has seen any difference. I mean, last year, I'll go back to the end of the last year.
Wait, you see his mechanics off, but the coaches that are looking at film every day don't see it?
There's a difference between seeing it and trying to correct it. I'm just going to give you an example.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Is Frank Reich the only guy in America that can interpret Carson Wentz? I mean, is that what we're saying here, Mike?
Well, I'm not saying he is.
Well, what are you saying? They got coaches on the team that are looking at film.
Yeah, we had coaches on the team last year, and Laurie saw they weren't doing anything.
What are you suggesting here to fix it, Mike? What do you want? What do you want?
I'm trying to give you an example.
Okay, so you're saying that the coaching for Carson Wentz is poor, is what you're saying?
Yes, the coaching for Carson Wentz, I don't know. I'm trying to give you an example if you give me a chance. All right, last year we saw when the guy that's on home leave for reserves, the quarterback that they brought in the last season, he sat there with Carson, and Carson had his best situation. Since the beginning of the
McCown?
McCown, yeah.
Well, he's still getting paid by them. If anybody would be able to notice, I mean, there's one of the coaches.
he's not directly with the team.
He's looking at Skype. They're paying him $12,000 a week.
I'm just saying, you can see the difference in them, like I'm saying. We do not know. I do not know. But there is a need for a coach to try to coach him up and see if there's...
Yeah, you're letting him off the hook. All right? Enough now with this babying of the guy. 5 years in the league. They don't have the right coaches. They can't pick up his flaws. Come on. Coaches are coaches. They look at film. If his mechanics are off, they'll tell him his mechanics are off. They'll try to coach it. McCown's in Texas. If he's so sophisticated with video, as they had to have him, God forbid, they had to have him from Texas, he's looking at video, right? He's seen anything for $12,000 a week?
It's ridiculous. He's being coached. He has to play better. The coach has to help him, like you said, Mike, but he has to play better. And hopefully, for all of our sake, forget him right now. For all of our sake, I hope he does.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Right. Enough. He's being coached. I don't know if he's being coached well, but he's being
coached. I can't
take
it anymore. He needs this, he needs that. They're not doing this for him.
And Press Taylor's his guy anyway.
Now, listen, we've already been on record saying that there's some things they did that didn't do wonders for his confidence. Okay? I got that. But now at 5 years, it's the Waffle, and they need Frank Reich. Man. Come on now. There's coaches all over the place. 610-620-975. A quick break, or we'll be right back. General Knowledge Wednesday, you're on the second category, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Time I should have got my old school KDs on. This was a classic. I'll never get rid of these.
Oh, they're purple?
No. They're like green and the flamingo orange.
Oh, those ones. Okay. Yeah. I've seen them before.
Yeah. This is an old school KD that I wrote with the gum sole. They don't make these gum sole. I was a fan of the gum
not
sole.
Not a lot of stuff gum with sole. The gum sole. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the gum sole.
Your gum shoe?
You got... It's a low cut. It's got the green hard shell here for ankle support for KD. It's got the KD right there.
That's not bad.
It's got the fluorescent orange. You know.
Yeah,
that's an old school sneaker.
And you mentioned the gum sole, and then I got to deal with her over here, Mike.
This is gum shoe.
Now we got to get things under control over here. Between you show the Godfather game, and she does the Fonz, and now she's doing a bad Godfather impression in here. Oh, and then you're showing your shoe, your nice sneakers, your KDs, and she's talking about gum shoe.
It's not that bad. How about it? Is it bad? Is it really bad?
See what I mean? Like, I was horrendous. Not doing this for 4 hours.
It's horrendous.
Why not? I'll get it by the end of the show.
No, you're not even him. You're playing like a different character from the movie.
What character is that?
Yeah.
That's like Frankie Pantangeli's great nephew.
Yeah, that's what that is.
I love Frankie, my nephew Frankie. Wait.
You're playing Frankie.
Oh, I'm the nephew.
Oh, my God. See, I can't do this.
Make it stop.
I can't do this, Mike.
All right, let's go. Jerome in Sicklerville. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Jerome?
All right, I'm listening to what they're saying. So, you know, our quarterback, I'm sure they're looking at the film and they're telling him whatever. I don't know. There's rumors all over. He wants to do things. I don't know. But, you know, when seemed like with this guy, he's a little bit like Donovan in a way where when everybody's down on him, that's when he has that game.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked after the game, okay, they win, and is he back now? And we got to wait for the week after. You know?
I totally agree, Jerome, and that week could come this week. We had Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan do a show here on 97.5 Fanatic, and they were saying, I can't imagine, looking at his career numbers, I can't imagine that he would stay this bad.
I've said it before, and I'll just contend. I love Carson. I believe he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I just know it. He's the best we've ever had, in my opinion. But he's got to get it straightened out. And I thought the offensive line was just done and no good until last week. They're the least of our problems. And with that being said, we can run. And if our quarterback can get it together, yeah, we can do it. Do you think we need to bring another receiver in until the other guy comes back or what?
Yeah, probably. But you're not going to get a good one. So. Nobody's going to be, unless you make a trade, there's nobody of impact that's going to be.
Well, you got Odell out there.
He's under contract with a team. You have to trade for him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, how about that guy with the last name Brown?
All right, well, maybe they can make a trade. Who knows? Maybe they'll be able to make a trade. But did you say that you think that Carson Wentz is the best quarterback ever? Here?
I think he's the best quarterback that's ever played in Philadelphia. Sure.
Man, you're disrespecting a man who wore number 5.
Oh,
good
Mike,
Lord, Jerome.
I'm embarrassed. Listen,
come on, Donovan, man.
Donovan was not, and I know you're going to get over it. Donovan was not an accurate quarterback.
Oh, dude, stop it. With the career accomplishment that McNabb had, Carson Wentz, that's a violation.
I like Donovan. I did.
Jerome, that's silly. That's silliness. Silliness, Jerome. You want a general knowledge question?
Sure, Mike.
All right. We're going to say question I asked Natalie because we're in name a valid answer category. Female singer with at least 4 number one hits in the 90s. She had Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. Who were the other two? 4 number one hits in the 1990s. Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, and the next two. In fact, if you get one of them, I'll qualify you.
Janet Jackson?
Correct! Hold on a second, Jerome. Janet Jackson.
It's my girl.
And? Oh, I can't believe this.
And Madonna?
Yes, Madonna.
All my girls.
Mariah, Madonna, Whitney, Janet.
Mm-hmm,
female
mm-hmm.
singer, at least 4 number one hits in the 1990s.
Yeah, that's tough. People forget how big Janet was.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to see her this year.
That was one of my better concerts, top 3.
Janet?
Yeah, Prince was number 1.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Janet was top 3. She did a lot, not a lot of breaks. She just went, did a nice line chorus. She had a lot of hits.
2020.
Talented family. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb in. Mike Missinelli Show. General Knowledge Wednesday. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Yeah, 3 o'clock hour, General Knowledge Wednesday. Brought to us by Corporate Lee's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pot hoagie, truck party trace, every bit is good. Tim McManus joins us in a half hour. We'll get what's up with the Eagles. Now, the news that Jalen Reagor is going to be out for several weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb area. And, of course, today, Doug Peterson spoke. And the sound bites we've been playing, Nat's been playing, it sounds pretty reasonable. But he did, I want to hear this. Can we hear this again?
I got it.
All right, let's hear the question and the answer from Doug.
Hey, Doug. Carson had great protection all day. He wasn't sacked. I think he only got knocked down once. And I know you were asked Monday why he's missing throws, and it's an assortment of reasons. But some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup.
All right. So, again, we go with the, okay, you're an NFL guy. I'm not entitled to ask the question. And, also there's a little subplot to this because I'm not sure the general manager ever played a down football in his life either, right?
No.
So by Doug's logic, you would turn and go, that's just interesting enough. The guy who never played football has actually built your team for you. What do you say to that? Does he have no credibility? You know?
Now, Doug has been very honest all of a sudden. He's throwing his quarterback under the ball. I wonder if he says, well, if you look at some of the talent, I think Howie could do a better job.
It
would be refreshing if he would say he'd get fired.
And I might add, Jimmy, if we had a damn general manager who actually played football, maybe I have better personnel to work with.
Right.
I could have added that.
You'd be like, some of those lamps he's throwing into guys, Hightower can't play. Like, how honest do you want to get, Doug? Some of these guys, this guy's buying groceries. He's never cooked a meal.
It's awesome. So last night, I had an interesting evening. And, you guys have been to my house. And you said, it's like the mixed media artwork that I have above the sofa that you got.
Very nice.
It's really big.
Yeah.
So last night I was out roasting weenies on an open fire in my backyard.
Oh, lovely.
And come to find out that I can actually watch the Phillies game from my backyard because the reflection is directly across from that piece of artwork and reflects the exact image onto the artwork. As I'm looking at it from a dark backyard, I'm watching the Phillies game through my window.
Wow. How about that?
And I'm having a red wine, a little visitor over. I'm drinking a little red wine.
And we're
roasting weenies over an open fire.
Ooh.
Watching the Phillies.
Sticking with the D.
So,
it's delicious.
There's nothing like a hot dog roasted over an open fire.
No, and it was a lovely evening for it as well.
It was a beautiful evening. Wow. And so I look up and I see that Cuban guy smash a home run, and I go, he didn't do that.
It's a mirage.
In my backyard, I'm looking at that kid. Wait, that's a bad reflection.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was true. It was real.
Oh, man. I like a nice, tight, muscular ass.
Visitor. Oh.
Yeah, so say you do that.
I had a friend over with a burst of weenies on a open fire, right? Wait, I'll give you the cosmic banana.
You did that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Fire roast with a little mustard and relish and chopped onions.
I wonder what your
prep situation was before your friend arrived.
What kind of weenies?
They were Philly's Franks.
Oh, okay.
Philly's beef Franks.
Solid.
Yes.
Solid choice.
It was a solid choice. They're awesome.
Yeah. For what I remember. Been a long time.
But you can't do it like I had to build the wood fire. That's the key. You can't do it over a propane fire.
They sit nicely
I bought a little little fire pit thing.
That's nice.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $70. And I got all these broken limbs on my property, so I made them into firewood.
That sounds like a delightful trees.
Start a fire.
Foliage.
That's right.
Look at this Phillies lineup.
We got
McCutchen,
left field. Bohm hitting two. Harper's your DH. Ramuto playing first base, hitting cleanup. Didi Segura playing third base. Bruce is in right field. The catcher's Knapp. And Scotty Jetpacks is your second baseman.
Nah, he's a center field.
Oh.
Jetpacks is in center field.
He's in center?
Yeah.
Well, who's the second baseman?
Second baseman is Segura.
Oh, that's right. Real Muto's playing first. So Bohm's back to third base.
Back to third.
So Segura's playing second. Kingery's playing center field.
Yeah.
All right.
That's some bad outfield defense.
That
with him, and you got Jay Bruce and right. Bruce butchered a play yesterday. Now Harper butchered like three of the doubleheader because he's not right.
He doesn't like your boy Haseley.
Yeah,
he doesn't like him. There's a right-hander pitcher, right? For the Nats? He's got Bruce in right field. There must be a right-hander pitching.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Hayes playing center. He's got Kingery playing center field.
Makes no sense. And it must be personal.
Yeah, he doesn't like Haseley.
Because Haseley hasn't done anything that bad. He's batted over 300 this year.
I don't think he likes him as a player.
He batted over 300. He hasn't been.
Jetpacks hit a home run yesterday, didn't he? In one of those games?
Yeah, he pinch hit for him, though.
Did he?
In the second game, yeah. Had Jay Bruce and then had to shift everything around.
Yeah, he's not a Haseley man. Girardi.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why he's struggling.
Get
with it.
Darren Mount Airy. Darren, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Darren.
Hey, Mike, you're struggling. Let me get myself together because y'all clowning today. Hey, Mike, first of all, how you doing? I've been a little busy. Natalie, Tyrone, how y'all doing?
They're wonderful.
Hey, Mike, listen. Hey, I hear people talking today because people overreacting, some underreacting. Listen to me. Mike Vick grew better in the window of success for receivers after the catch than Carson Wentz, which makes him a better quarterback. Now, Donovan was better, okay, overall, okay? But now, I got to fix, Mike, because I've been watching other games, you know, besides taking courses. I see that our quarterbacks and the plays that they throw to our receivers, they don't give the receiver the opportunity to run after the catch. Our quarterback, so, you know, when if Doug Peterson would have asked me that question, I would have said, hey, listen, you're not designing plays what make receivers successful after catches. Carson Wentz has been doing it, and Carson has regressed. He's not in my book anymore. I got Jalen Wentz starting before this season is out. But let me say this.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I'm sorry. Mike.
Yeah, that's all right.
But Mike, listen to me. Mike, we don't look at our plays that we run for our receiver. Carson Wentz, you know, we don't even use our. We got the best double tight end tandem in the NFL, and they're underutilized. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What made us successful is throwing passes to our receivers so they can run after the catch. A lot of 80% of the 80% of the throws that I saw Carson do last week was they catch the ball and that's it, and they get clean baited.
Yeah, I agree with that. In other words, they either use that quick slant that Cooper Kupp ran. They don't have anybody running that pattern. That's a run after the catch pattern. They don't call it very much, that slant.
There you go, Mike. Mike, look at Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. What's the other guy? Jared Goff, who just beat us up. Mm-hmm. You know, they throw passes to make receivers successful.
Well, they got a scheme that keeps a lot of people in motion, which, you know, lends it to some open receivers. The Eagles don't do that. They don't do a lot of motion and move the quarterback out of the pocket. Hey, Darren, let me give, before I run out of time, let me give you a general knowledge question because it's about NFL quarterbacks. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, NFL quarterbacks 100 win club. Now, the all-time leader with 219 wins is Tom Brady. Give me one of the guys tied for second as far as win total.
For win totals in the NFL? Oh, boy. Terry Bradshaw?
Incorrect. The two tied for second with wins... Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, 186.
Yeah. They played a long time. You got to play a long time.
Yep. JD in Hoboken. What's up, JD?
How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, man?
I wanted to make two points. One about Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, like, 2018, after Carson had that ACL injury, we were all talking about how can we protect this kid? We got to protect our asset.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him in the pocket, scheme that way.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we're seeing Carson as a pocket passer. He's like a bottom 10 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And when
it's a very good correlation you just made. Yeah, in other words, they've overprotected him.
Yeah, and the whole scheme built around him is to protect that asset.
Mm-hmm.
And as a bottom 10 quarterback, that asset has less value. As the unhinged, extend the play Carson Wentz, he was a MVP candidate. Sure, the team's a little different now, but I think it would be safe to say he'd be a top five quarterback getting back into that sort of unhinged mm-hmm. Carson Wentz mode.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they ought to unleash him a little bit, get him out of the pocket, get him on the run, do some things like that where he played with a little more abandon. Now, he I don't know if he's as flexible because he did gain weight and got a little more stout. So, like, you know, I don't know if that's still going to apply. He was a little spryer when he first came in doing that way.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think, like, the ACL injury, too, may have even, like, affected his mindset? Maybe he doesn't want to do that?
I think it's been drilled into his head so much not to run the football that he's kind of, like, going the other way with it.
Gotcha. And, you know, worst-case scenario, Carson Wentz, he tries to extend the play. He gets hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
We have two bottom 10 quarterbacks who can sit in the pocket and pass just as well, I'm sure, just waiting in the wings. And you give Hurts a shot, who knows what can happen.
Yeah. All right, man. Listen, it's your lucky day here for general knowledge. All right? And what's at stake is we're giving away booze today. And this, we're at the category of the Godfather trivia game, which we're giving away as part of our prize pool. Here's the question. Finish the quote. Do you spend time with your family? Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family, fill in the blank.
My dad's going to kill me, but I don't have it.
You don't have it? All right, you're out. A man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Hmm. That's a good quote. Real man. I'm working on it.
And that's part of the beef that some people have with the movie, because they feel like it romanticizes the life of crime when they put in the family, like him being a great family man and stuff like that. And meanwhile, they're executing fools.
Yeah, well,
I don't share that. I think people can be complicated. You can be a good family man and a killer at the same time.
Was his son Santino a good family man while he's upstairs with that Lucy woman?
He was a terrible, terrible family man. Terrible. His sister's husband was terrible, too.
You never even asked me for a cup of coffee. Is it getting better? It's getting a little better, right?
Yeah, you're getting there.
You're right there. By 7 o'clock, you'll have it.
Sandy, the waitress I was seeing lost her desire for me. Sandy, South Jersey. What's up, Sandy?
God, you guys are really tripping today.
Yes, we are.
Okay, I live in South Jersey.
Yeah.
Yay! And, like I said, I care about, the only team I really care about is the Phillies. Uh-huh. Up until this week. What is wrong with this team? I mean, they lost a doubleheader and made Chicago go into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That Chicago didn't even have a prayer to get into the playoffs.
And
you guys lose two games that you could at least won both.
I know. Sandy, we're dying here. We're dying. The Phillies are making us die. They lost four in a row, and we thought they were going to at least get in the playoffs. Give us a little something.
Yeah, the Eagles are killing. You know, the thing is, I only live an hour from Philly.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, we don't have a team.
Yeah, where do you live there in South Jersey? Where you're in the shore area?
Yeah, I'm about, I'm an hour from Philly, and 30 minutes from Atlantic City.
Oh, what's the town?
Vineland, New Jersey.
Marlton?
Vineland.
Oh, Vineland. Oh, you're in Vineland.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rich soil down there.
Well, we're the number one in square miles.
I know. All right.
If anything ever happened to Trenton, Vineland becomes the state capital.
Oh, well, look at that.
But I'm just saying, we don't have a team that we can root for.
I got you. Close enough. The Philly team's a part of your heart, too, down there in Vineland. I get it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm originally from North Jersey.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up with the Giants and the Dodgers and all that area.
I get you. I got
you. That's a violation.
You know, I'm still a Dodger fan.
Uh-huh.
So I root for my Dodgers, too.
All right. I like the Dodgers. I like that. Now, Sandy, would you like to play General Knowledge today with us?
No.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No.
All right. Well,
I just wanted to say that my Dodgers clinched the division yesterday.
Yeah, but they're no longer in Brooklyn.
No, they're in L.A.
Yeah, I know.
But they clinched the division.
Yeah, they're good. They're a good team. All right, Sandy, nice talking to you.
Take care.
All righty. Sandy, fireworks are hailing over Little Eden tonight.
I don't know that one. The country song?
Forcing a light into all those stony faces left stranded on this warm July.
Who is that?
That's Springsteen.
Oh.
Talking about.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's 4th of July, Asbury Park.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's his birthday today. I didn't know that. Happy birthday, Bruce.
The man.
It is his birthday?
Yes. Yeah. Today is his birthday.
Yeah, he's gotten more from less than any man of all time. This should inspire each and every one of you out there that you can still make it big. If that guy can be a rock icon,
man,
and can't sing his way out of a paper bag, a wet paper bag.
What do you mean?
He's a rock singer.
Nah, you can be good and be a rock singer.
Circus full of switchblade lovers. So fast, so shiny, so sharp.
Is See, I would have known it was Bruce if you did that. Bruce.
Well, he was doing bad Bruce. Like,
I know.
Like, but it's a good Bruce because Bruce himself is bad. But I know he's got followers and like
people are devout Springsteen fans. Yeah, John Clark.
Much of the staff at NBC Sports Philadelphia call him a god.
Yeah.
Not the boss, the god they call
him. I remember watching this VH1 special years ago, and this woman had like an altar to Bruce Springsteen that she would worship at, seriously, in her house. It was wild. I didn't know people like loved him like that. I mean, I enjoy him. I don't know his whole catalog.
Ah, the greases. Ah, they tramp the streets and get busted for sleeping on the beach all night.
And I got to give him credit. Asbury Park has really turned around. A lot of it started with Bruce making a free appearance, a few of them back there at the time when it was getting gentrified, to help turn the town around. That he has never forgotten where he came from.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
There's something to be said for that.
And boys in their high heels. Oh, Sandy, the skins are so white. Let's go to Dave in Bucks County. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Dave?
Not much, but it's almost Christmas time, and you know what that means for Bruce and the E Street Band.
Oh, it's cold along the boardwalk.
I actually just had a quick, if I could switch gears, Sixers point real fast.
Yes, sir.
Since Billy Donovan was signed by the Bulls yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that it's still going to be Lou and D'Antoni
mm-hmm.
For the front runners for the Sixers job. Of the two, I just would prefer D'Antoni because at least I know we'd have an identity that is his MO, and I get a little confused with Lou. I'm not sure what he's all about.
What do you think about that? Listen, D'Antoni intrigues me because he's novel. And I think that this team needs some novel coaching. And I think he'd be a little more innovative on how to best use the two. Because he's like unconventional. Like he likes to do some stuff. I think he tries to fit with his personnel and say, I can win this way with these guys. I think he's a little more innovative. I'd be curious and interested to see D'Antoni be the coach.
Plus, I think the games would just be, you know, entertaining, basically. I mean, more so than they were this year, hopefully.
Yeah, he would be different, and I'd be interested. Because, listen, I've seen enough now of the conventional, right? Like, he brings some kind of different plan. I mean, it would be interesting. I don't know if it'll work, but who knows? He's savvy enough to know, I think, what would work with these guys.
Yeah, but that leads me to my final thing, and I'd like a general knowledge if I could.
Sure.
Despite the organization's protests, I honestly think if they do choose D'Antoni, Joel would be on the block.
Maybe. You know, that would be interesting. That's part of the interesting thing. If he does want to move Embiid, he'll shape a team in a different way, and I don't know if it would be the best thing, but it'll be interesting, and we'd have to live with it. All right, man, here's your general knowledge question from the general knowledge category.
All right, let's go.
And, of course, the prize today is a bottle of D.B. Johnson straight bourbon, a mermaid shirt, two Glencairn tasting glasses from Mermaid Spirits Distillery. And the question is,
all right,
take the name of a U.S. state, add two letters to the beginning, and now you have the name of a different state. What state?
Arkansas and Kansas.
Oh, there you go.
Woo!
Hold on a second. Arkansas and Kansas is correct.
Yeah.
6-1.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
610-632-0975. There's one line open, and you can grab it right now. Mike Misnelli Show coming up. Tim McManus, Midweek Eagles Report, and I got a lot of questions. We're back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:30. It's time to check our Twitter poll, 3:30, before we get into some Eagles talk. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Agonoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 800 votes on it so far. Will Klentak and McPhail survive this offseason? 1% say Klentak will, 20% say McPhail will, 60% say neither will, and 19% say both will. So
yeah, they're both gone. I'm sorry. John Middleton's no dope. So we'll get to that a little later with Jason Stark, joins us at 4. But right now, the other team that's killing this fan base is in a must-win situation. And even if they win this game, we're looking at maybe a 1-5 start. And who expected that? He's the man that covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He is the great Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Hello, Timmy. Things are not very joyous in Eagleville.
No, and then a turn for the worse on the health front for the Eagles with Jalen Reagor going to be sidelined for a significant amount of time here, Mike, with a UCL tear in his thumb. The Eagles are referencing Drew Brees as a similar injury and similar timeline for his absence. Brees missed 6 weeks or 5 games. I have one source telling me that he's expecting Reagor to be sidelined until after the bye week. This is a guy that recovered quickly from the last injury he had. He was supposed to be out 4 weeks, returned in 2. So I guess we throw that caveat in there. But he's going to have surgery. He's going on IR, and that's not great for the quarterback, who's obviously having his own struggles.
Yes. So what do they do to replace him now? What's up their sleeve, maybe?
In the very short term, they just have to go with what they've got. And that is, people aren't going to love the name, but J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and John Hightower are two names that are kind of right in line there. I mean, they can rely. They're already the heaviest two tight end personnel team in the entire NFL. They're going to have to rely on that even more. They can't really play the long-term card with DeSean Jackson, no 50% of the snap stuff. You know, they have to have him very active in games. And then kind of off in the not-too-distant future is Alshon Jeffery. They didn't put him on PUP to start the year because they thought he'd be back within 6 weeks of the start of the season. We're in week 3 right now, so I mean, somewhere within the next couple games, at least according to their original timeline, they were expecting to get Jeffery back, but Jeffery not practicing today.
Interesting. Jeffery's the forgotten man, and all of a sudden he may be looked at as the guy that really has to be their savior here. Very, very ironic. Let's talk about what everybody's talking about, and it's the quarterback and how he's playing and what they're doing to coach him and whether there's a disconnect between the coach and this quarterback. I mean, spin all this for me with Carson Wentz.
Well, I mean, the one thing that has become really clear to me is that the fluidness of the relationship between Doug Peterson and Nick Foles, how easy it was for them to sort of get on the same page and play to one another's strengths. We're not seeing that develop with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. That doesn't mean that it can't develop, but it's just hard to ignore the facts right now that these guys just do not seem to mesh up with any type of consistency. And so, you know, that's kind of a pressing issue in my mind. I mean, if you look at what Wentz has done since that magical run in 2017, you know, he's 14-15 now, Mike, as a starter. We've seen these inconsistencies in his game. We've seen things that were like rookie issues that have continued here into year 5 and have still not getting cleaned up. And it's still kind of hard to truly identify what his system is. You know, it was like, you knew what it was with Foles and Peterson. You did the high level of the RPOs, that kind of thing. But where is the sweet spot with Wentz? And that's something that they've yet to land on.
Well, what's the problem that they can't seem to get on the same page? I mean, is the head coach able to adjust? Is the quarterback able to do what the head coach wants to do? And what's the snag here?
I mean, it's a $100,000 question.
as to why it hasn't manifested itself as of yet. I think that, yeah, we can look at different coaching styles. Like if you look at 2017 as an example, they had a really nice setup where they had John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach, was kind of the bad cop, and they had Frank Reich, who was the good cop, and Peterson, you know, kind of managing the whole deal. And Wentz was clearly responsive to that when he got coached really hard and then lifted up. I mean, whatever kind of combination that they had going there worked for him. And so why isn't it happening now? You know, he's gotten more, I think, authority and influence over the offense as he's gone along. And there's that tricky balance of empowering the quarterback and then making sure that he's coloring within the lines and that you are guiding him appropriately. And, you know, I know that there's efforts being made to that extent, but I just don't know that they've landed on it yet, Mike. I mean, so this is a work in progress, but it becomes concerning because you're in the fifth year, and you would think that these things would be ironed out by this point.
You know, I like to put two and two together, and one of the things we've been talking about for the last couple of days is that in their mind, in their organizational mind, they would be willing to move on from Carson Wentz. And that comes from the drafting itself of Jalen Hurts. But also, the other day he says, when asked the question, what's the reason for his regression? He says, that's a good question. Now, I don't know if any coach would answer it that way without supporting his quarterback, who's so much of his team. And he just, you know, instead of saying, well, I don't agree that he's regret, he said, that's a good question. Now, I mean, what are we supposed to read into there?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting to this kind of fundamental question of, you know, if somebody were to go, who would it be? And I don't think we're quite there yet. And then I thought that Peterson kind of readjusted during today's press conference and was sure to kind of back his quarterback up. Mm-hmm. So maybe he went a little bit too far one direction. Now he's making amends. But I would also say that while, you know, there are legit concerns here, you know, that everyone is expressing, it's also important to have kind of the bigger picture that Wentz isn't going to be this bad all season, you wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
And that what he did capture something down the stretch last year that was real and meaningful and seemed to have an effect on his teammates and his standing in the locker room. Now let's see if they come rallying around him and whether he can get it straightened out.
You know, the head coach has been kind of snippy lately, and the personality's changed a little bit. And, you know, today it was, I played and you didn't. Is this he getting to him a little bit?
He goes to that card too frequently, in my opinion. I mean, that's often he'll go, and that's never a good answer for a coach. It just never has gotten any coach any time into a good place in terms of the public standing. Yeah, I think that some of that maybe was the phrasing of the question where the term layup seemed to trigger him.
Yeah.
Like there is no layup in this league, and,
right.
You know. But the other part is, yeah, maybe he is feeling the heat. And, of course, we didn't know about the Rager injury until afterwards.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with some things behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And also, I think he's trying to show some support for the quarterback and kind of paint it in a picture like this isn't easy, you know, and that there's things that they're working on.
Last thing, the defense, which we thought was going to be a staple, has not been. And, I know Schwartz tried to take a bullet, but he did kind of single out some guys. What's the disarray with this defense right now?
I thought that he struck the right tone, generally speaking, and kind of outlined the fact that he tried to simplify the defense, and that ended up blowing up on him because the guys, instead of having their eyes singularly focused, it was more kind of general, whatever happens, you know, we're prepared for, and that just turned out to be a disaster for them. So I thought that there was grains of truth to what he was saying, and I also thought that he was very much just trying to shelter them from a lot of the criticism. And, you know, there are some fundamental problems with this defense right now. One is that they haven't invested any resources in linebacker. I mean, we know that. They are number 32 in the NFL and resources invested in a linebacker in 2020. And it shows up, you know, it showed up big time in that mismatch against the linebackers and Higbee last week. And then the defensive front really has to be kind of the center of this entire team, let alone the defense. They need to get that pressure. They've spent a lot of money, a lot of resources on the big man up front to get pressure. And now you have Fletcher Cox dealing with an oblique injury. He got hurt in that game. He had a kind of like a wrap around his stomach area. you know, in between series throughout that game, Mike. He was sidelined today with that oblique. He's officially day-to-day, but maybe that helps explain why we haven't seen the Fletcher Cox that people are expecting to see. And if you don't have that, you know, now it's putting pressure on guys who haven't proven themselves yet, guys like Derek Barnett as an example. You know, so, yeah, there are some issues, not to mention you have a cornerback playing safety in Jalen Mills. So there's a lot to hash out here, but the bottom line is that they have to get their act together, like, now, because they need to put this rookie down quickly this week, make sure he doesn't get some confidence that could take him to a win and the Eagles into an 0-3 hole.
They did address the linebacker with a third round pick, but apparently they addressed linebackers that aren't ready to play in the NFL yet. Is that kid going to see the field?
As a special teamer, but they didn't really have plans of him being a contributor on defense this year. And it is absolutely right to question the decision-making by the front office and Howie Roseman in that case, because Jalen Hurts is supposed to be a guy that you're really not going to use except for in some, like, packages here and there on the field. So you didn't get Carson Wentz help otherwise. And then Davion Taylor, they weren't really expecting anything from him this year. That's your second and your third round pick. I mean, and you look, and what one of the major issues on this team is that they haven't gotten enough out of their draft picks. And now, you know, the first round pick that they actually were relying on is going to be sidelined for multiple weeks. And so it's a problem.
Yeah, Howie Roseman didn't play in the NFL, right? Does Doug know that?
Okay,
pass that on to Doug. All right, listen, man, good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike, sounds
good. Tim McManus, covering the Eagles for ESPN.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Well, that's good to address it. Second round guy they can't play, and a third round guy who they knew couldn't play. Right? Isn't that nice? Are you kidding me? Second and third round guys they just draft knowing they're not going to play them.
Two luxury picks, Mike. And the quarterback has stunk. You said it, the quarterback has stunk. But you're looking around the locker room, you're the quarterback, you're thinking, second round, they could have got me somebody, I could do something. Third round, you could have got me somebody. Instead, you get me two guys. You draft my replacement, and the other guy, he just doesn't play football. But this is okay, everything's fine.
Second and third round. Oh, well, we didn't expect they were going to play. We just kind of took them. All right, quick break. We're back. General Knowledge Wednesday. Mike Missinelli Show after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:45, Mike Missinelli Show. It is General Knowledge Wednesdays, presented by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testa. Now, four lucky listeners today get a bottle of D.B. Johnson Straight Bourbon. Now, this is a new brew from a new distillery, new local distillery. They also get a mermaid shirt and two Glencairn tasting glasses. Mermaid Spirits Distillery is what we're talking about. Vodka, bourbons, rums. You can visit them at mermaidspirits.com. They are a small craft distillery. Huntington Valley, PA. Intersection of Davisville, Canyon Road. They offer curbside pickup, safe in-store shopping, direct shipping throughout Pennsylvania. Again, it's mermaidspirits.com for all things mermaid. Enjoy responsibly. All right. Let's get back to the phones, and we'll talk to Mike in Ohio. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually sitting in Cincinnati right now.
Oh, Cincinnati. One of my favorite cities. Yeah. That's a horrible
city. I'm actually in Cincinnati. I'm from Philadelphia, but I moved out here about 25 years ago. And I got to tell you, this fan base, Cincinnati Bengals fans, actually believe that they have the best 0-2 football team since the 90s.
Well, listen, they're excited. They got a new quarterback. That's exciting when you get the number one pick in the draft. He's the quarterback. Things are looking up for them.
There's no way they lose this game to the Eagles on Sunday. I'm telling you right now, I'm, The Eagles defense, yeah, I mean, I think they can play their game, get Tyler Boyd matched up with Darius Slayton. The other receiver, A.J. Green, he looks about 75.
Yeah, he does. He's aged.
I think they're going to be fine.
I think they'll win the game, too. They're a six-point favorite. But, you know, I don't know what this team is. I have no idea right now what the Eagles are.
Yeah, I just wanted to do a call from Cincinnati to let you know that this team is so cocky right now. They're all, my friends are betting, oh, they're going to beat the Eagles by 20 points and all. I'm going to jump.
Oh, they're
excited. Give me a break.
You know, that deserves one of these. You know what it deserves from you? Ha, 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 ha. You know how they used to, like the old movies, they would dismiss, ha, ha, ha. You know?
That's true.
Yeah, that's what that deserves. Yeah.
So, anyway, I just want to let you know that's the...
All right, brother. You want to play General Knowledge while you're out there in Ohio?
Yeah.
Because we'll ship that boost to you if you're one of the winners. The question is, name a valid answer. Now, I'm going to ask you to name me two valid answers on this question. Famous rock or pop musician who died at age 27. There are six of them. 27 dead. Give me two of them.
Or younger or 27?
They died at age 27. Famous rock or pop musician. Give me two of the six.
I'm going to say Jim Morrison and, oh, man. You got me on the other one, man.
Oh, sorry, man. Oh, six of them, two females.
Yeah.
You got them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Janis Joplin.
Janis is correct.
Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse is correct. This is amazing at age 27 here.
Isn't it unreal?
Wait, yeah, okay, yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix is correct.
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison is correct.
Who am I blanking on? How many did I just say?
There's
four.
There's a grunge.
Oh, God. Yeah, Kurt Cobain. And
this is old school. You probably won't get it. Brian Jones is the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah.
27. How about that?
And the musical work that they put out being before the age of 27 is unbelievable.
I was watching a documentary on my new favorite channel, Reels, about Jimi Hendrix. The Perfect Murder, it was called, Tyrone.
Oh.
Little funny business.
I've heard that before.
I've heard that before. The problem is the drug problems.
Yes, but apparently he got wineboarded.
Wineboarded?
Yes.
What?
Like waterboarded, but with wine?
He got wineboarded. They took all this red wine out of him, and it didn't go into his digestive system. So he died... As they were doing the wine, it didn't go into his system. It stayed like right there.
That's terrible. What was the motive? Did they say?
He had a girlfriend who was a little sinister. Wow. The old manager was sinister.
Yeah, I could buy that. See, that's why you got to be careful out there when you're dating. Men and women, you got to be careful.
Yeah,
so Kurt both were killed by their girlfriends.
Well, their wife in Kurt's case.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah, this girl is a German girl. Jimmy had him. Jimmy had him.
Yeah.
Jimmy did all right.
He was a stud.
As long as he was here.
He did okay.
With his upside down.
His brother is interviewed a lot in this documentary.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
You got
to
check it out. Reels has these interesting shows.
I know. I don't even know. I don't think I have Reels.
You have Reels?
Mm-mm. It's not on my antenna.
Let's go to Will in South Jersey. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, guys, I want to talk about the two Eagles games. The first game I blame on Doug Peters, not that balance, and Jim Schwartz, who refuses to help out our defensive line and send pressure the lone man from a linebacker perspective. And I just say...
Hey, Will, let me put you on hold. We got a bad connection with you, so you're probably in a bad spot, but we'll get right back to you. Let's go to Tony on a cell. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Tone?
Yeah, I was coaching down at Bristol High School for a few seasons. I saw you at Greg Pinelli's viewing.
Ah.
I'd say hi. It wasn't really the right time. But
yeah. How'd this squad do when you were there coaching them?
Yeah, we took over. I'm not there. I'm over at the college now.
Okay.
But, we took
over. Yeah, they had a little resurgence in football there at my old high school.
Yeah, we got some Pensbury Falcons in there who knew how to run.
Oh, nice.
But, I wanted to talk about Howie. and his similarities between Sam Hinkie, sort of like two outside nerd types who kind of overthink it.
Yeah.
You know, I know yesterday I think you brought up, like, we either drafted Hurts because we wanted to replace Carson or we were just stupid.
Yeah.
You ever think maybe he saw, you know, like Hinkie always flipped assets and picked things like kind of like a real estate market. He maybe saw it as an asset to trade a future 53rd pick, flip that for a number one down the line, sort of like a Jimmy G.
Yeah, but if that's your main motivation,
I don't agree with it.
It could be anything, really. Maybe he is thinking that way. But how stupid is that to waste a second round pick? A second round pick's supposed to help your squad. You don't draft a second rounder so you can flip him a few years down the road.
Oh, I hate Howie. Trust me. I'm just trying to.
You're right. It could be what you said. It could be that they're just plain stupid, and
we're not in a position to draft for luxury, like you said.
Yeah. Now I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm actually saying they're smart. Okay, and their plan, at least, even if it doesn't work out, was that the NFL has changed. We need a quarterback that matches the style more than the guy we have.
Yeah. Now, going to basketball with D'Antoni. I'm looking at his coaching record. He always had a point guard who could shoot off the dribble with a pick and roll. Like, I just don't see that with Simmons in that fit.
Yeah, but he can probably use Simmons in another fit. Like, he can still acquire that kind of player and use Simmons in a completely unique way.
I think we're screwed, Mike.
Well, we'll see. All right, man. General knowledge question. Football.
All right, good.
NFL quarterbacks 100 win club. We've established that the first three on the board are Brady, Favre, Manning. 163 is the total of wins I'm looking for number four. Who is it?
Number four. He's still playing, right?
I can't give you any hints.
It's a guy in New Orleans, Brees.
It is Drew Brees. Hold on a second.
How's everyone doing?
Drew Brees. Oh, Tyrod just hates to mention of that man's name.
Yeah, that's
why I was glad the Raiders beat him.
610-632-0975. Big 4 o'clock hour happening because we got the football pool situation and we got Jason Stark. So don't go away. It's your chance to bag $100 and to be in the main thrust of the pool with all the great prizes in it, including a snowblower, including $1,000 cash, including a year's supply of her snack foods. And we're not done. A Godfather trivia game. Yes.
Yes.
And also a fire pit from Landis Block Concrete. Yeah. Trivia games right here.
And more questions.
Right there. There it is. The Godfather trivia game. There it is. It's in the pool.
Trivia.
We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4 o'clock hour, and the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
Yes, it is the Fanatic Football Pool. Right now, if you're the fifth caller on our contest line, 215-263-0975. 215-263-0975. If you're the fifth caller, you will be today's contestant. You will also get $100 right out of the chute, and then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. And if you get that right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything that's in it, including a snowblower, including $1,000 cash, including a year's supply of snacks from Hers, including a fire pit from Landis Block of Concrete, and other various sundry gifts. Yes, fifth caller, good luck to you. And on that note, let's talk Phillies. Oh, God. God, they're killing me. Jason Stark, they're killing me. Let's bring him in. He's the man who covers baseball for The Athletic. He's in the Hall of Fame. He is Mr. Baseball, and he's going to explain this melting. Jason Stark, brought to us by DraftKings. Jason, I can't explain it, so I'll let you do it.
Mike, people don't seem too upbeat around here today.
No.
I don't know. Just like one of my theories is all Phillies seasons have one thing in common. They just last a little too long. Other than 2008 and 1980, they all last too long. And especially this one, right?
Boy, these Septembers are just hard to take.
God.
And in conjunction with the Eagles, people are just miserable. And they lose last night again. And working somebody, it's almost like a passion play of some sort. Like there's some kind of script. You know, it's a Shakespearean tragedy. A Cuban defector comes up and bangs a home run to win the game.
Yeah, it's part of the experience of being a Philadelphian. You know, I don't know why people in our town have to be put through this, but what they lived through yesterday, I don't know. What you think? That felt like one of the all-time Philadelphia sports debacles. You know, like just one of those days we'll look back on for a long time. This is as bad as it can get. You think about all that went into it, right? You have Nola lined up against a guy with a 7 ERA. And also, by the way, the worst strikeout rate of any starter in the big leagues. And they lose. Like the day before, you had Zach Wheeler lined up against another guy with a 7 ERA and lose that game. And then the way the game ends last night, wow. Just a disaster.
It is just unbelievable. And now, listen, they still have a chance. Things have to go right. They have to sweep. They have to get help. The whole thing. They may be able to sneak in. But the way this has gone, the front office has just been a colossal failure on things they've tried to do. Now, I know guys are hurt right now, but those trades that they tried to improve their bullpen have failed. And it's about time that this front office gets evaluated. Do you agree harshly by the owner?
I don't know how you cannot evaluate it. If you really take in what's happened, I do understand that the last 2 weeks and the injuries they've dealt with the level of player who's had to deal with them, like that's rough. That's tough for any team to deal with. But I don't know how you can escape the reality that the number one culprit in all of this is roster construction. You know, having no outfield depth, so you can't cover an injury to Kyle Garlick, not to mention Harper, Jay Bruce, McCutcheon. Not sure how that happens. And then having no pitcher you can call up to even start a game through all these doubleheaders. Calling up one reliever after another, and the only guy who looks like he belongs in the big leagues has been Jojo Romero. And this is on a team that's used 28 pitchers. And, I keep coming back to the same thing in my head. It's hard. It's a weird season. But remember, you have a 60-player pool, which means you have more players actually at the alternate site than on your big league team. So the lack of depth and the lack of options here has just been hard to believe.
Yeah, the axe has to fall. I mean, they knew the axe had to fall in Capital last year. The owner knows the axe has to fall in this regime now. They just failed. They had a chance to do it. Maybe it was novel when they hired him, but it didn't work. The McPhail-Klentak experiment did not work. And so I expect that will change in the offseason, barring a miracle that they get into the playoffs and they actually do something here.
Well, I mean, look, it's hard to know exactly what John Middleton's thinking, but I do think that, you know, recent history has shown he's very aware of what the fan base thinks, of what people like us think. He's not just in his bubble. He's very conscious of perception in the town. So maybe that's a factor. Maybe it's not. You've alluded a couple times to the idea that they still could sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see it now. Their playoff odds on Fangraphs have gone from 85% to 33% just since Sunday. And one of the big reasons is, you know, I actually said this to you last week, they're going to win every tiebreaker because they have this great division record, and that's the tiebreaker. And then they go ahead and lose five in a row to the Mets and Nationals. So now they lose almost every tiebreaker, and here's what that means. I think 30 and 30 doesn't get you in anymore. So they have to go 4-0, which means they have to sweep the Rays at home. And is that possible? Mike, you know how many series the Rays have lost at home this season? Want to guess?
None?
None. Not one.
Yeah. Listen, it's a pipe dream. So, but mathematically, I guess they're still in it. So, the manager has kind of escaped criticism all year, and I can see why. But I was just curious to know what you saw and what others may have said about his bullpen moves last night. Where he, looking at the charts, it says Morgan does pretty well against Michael A. Taylor, but he went conventional and he went righty on righty, and it backfired.
He had a reasonable answer for that. He's in a bullpen game. He is trapped in these rules now that say every reliever has to face three hitters. And so when he explained it afterward, that was clearly what he meant, that he needed to match up Jojo Romero with Soto, and that's what that dictated when Phelps came in. But I think that's obviously a situation where if he had it back, he wouldn't have done what he did because it didn't work out. It was a mess. It was a game changing, as it turned out, game losing mess.
Last question, Real Muto. A very peculiar answer was given by Klentak a few days ago. He said, well, he basically said, well, we got him for 2 years of control. And that doesn't sit well with fans who thought they were going to actually lock him up. Who knows what this regime is going to, whether they're going to survive. But where do you think the JT Real Muto thing goes?
Well, look, a lot's been made of that answer. Probably more has been made of it than it actually means. To a great extent, that really is just the way that Matt answers questions like that. All right, a couple things here. First, the decision on whether JT stays here, signs here, that's going to be a John Middleton decision, right? That's not going to be a Matt Klentak decision. Mm-hmm. But some of the decisions along the way have been Matt Klentak decisions. And that is the problem, right? Because, John Middleton was telling people after they made the trade that the number one priority was to get this guy signed. Number one. And now it's almost 2 years later and still hasn't happened. He never jumped in to make it happen. And I think that's because he left that, for the most part, up to Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak. And I think one of the most fateful decisions, when we look back on it, was taking this guy to arbitration last winter. Why? Right? I know he has said all the right things, right? I know that JT has said that doesn't mean anything. Here's a little factoid to keep in mind. In the last 30 years, there has not been a single player who was in his final year of arbitration, went to a hearing, lost that hearing, and then re-signed with that team. Not one. So this guy's going to test the market, and a lot of forces outside of John Middleton's control and the front office's control will be in play when that happens. They had to head that off. They did not.
Well, that's really interesting, and we have to move on here. But quickly, if John Middleton made that his number one priority, then I hear his excuse that he was going to leave it up to Klentak. He could have come in at any point. If he saw was slogging along, he could have pushed the button on it. So I'm not going to let him off the hook for that.
Right. The next time he speaks publicly, that's a question that we're going to have to ask him.
All right. Jason, great stuff. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you up the road.
Hang in there, Mike.
Jason Stark, brought to us by DraftKings. Yeah, that's nonsense. That whole, you want to make it this whole, there's no more priority than making your number one priority. Leave it up to Clint Tack.
I think he thought it was a no-brainer. This guy can't mess this up. Just get the deal done. And it should have got done before. The lame duck thing is
he's
done.
Like, if he sees it's not getting done, he easily makes a phone call.
And I think he probably thinks but I can still cut the check.
Really interesting. I did not realize that leaves a mark, that arbitration, is what Jason just said. It leaves a mark on guys. Think of the arbitration, huh? Want to argue against me? Yeah? I'll give you that.
Yes.
All right. Our caller number 5. We got him on the line. His name is Justin from Hamilton, New Jersey. Justin, are you on the line, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Well, congratulations, Justin. You have won $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And now we're about to ask you a simple football trivia question to see if you get in the grand prize drawing. Are you ready?
I am ready.
In the current NFL, what is a football made of?
Leather?
I need to be more, so you need to be a little more specific.
Leather and lace.
But what is leather?
Cowhide.
Correct. All right, you're in. All right, hold on a second, Justin. Yes, it is cowhide. And Justin gets into the big grand prize drawing. I'll tell you what's in it so far. A Poland Pro PR100 21-inch snowblower. And you're going to need it this year. It's from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Peter Laviolette autograph mini helmet. The Godfather trivia game, which we're playing today. Fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete. Talking teddy bear from the movie Ted 2. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4. James Thrash bobblehead doll. Full year supply of snacks. Full year from Her Snack Foods. $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And we're still adding prizes all the time. And the Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, back to the phones. T in Fishtown. What's up, T?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? I'm so jealous of Justin right now.
Well, you just missed the caller number 5 situation, you know? Can I tell you?
I know. It's okay. Hey, listen, you guys doing your stand-up routine, y'all need to do that a little more, you know, at the beginning of the show.
We just let it fly here, T, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you did a good job today. Hey, I want to say this to you, Mike, and I actually want to ask all three of you guys a question, and maybe I'm pretty sure you all going to give a different response. But it's clear at this point that Carson Wentz is digressing. So really he played that way, with these overthrows and underthrows, like for the past 3 years, even the year he got hurt, but, it's out of control right now. I just want to ask you guys and just give me your answers like separately. What do you think? Why do you think the fans are not as heavy now? They're complaining about what's going on with him, but why do you think the fans are not coming? Why do you think, they're complaining about the fact that Carson's playing like this, but why do you think the fans are not coming on them like they should? Because you know how Philly fans get down. They go heavy when they see this kind of play, but for some reason they're not going heavy on this guy.
Oh, I disagree with that. Yeah, I disagree with you. I think they're
No.
Well, what is your definition of coming down heavy?
Blood. When, like, every time McNabb underthrew pass, they, like, when you heard the phones the next day, they were out for blood.
Yeah, well, that's because McNabb got to the point where they couldn't get over the top, and then they got frustrated and exhausted with it. So, but Carson Wentz is getting hammered right now.
I'm used to hearing.
I think you gotta get your ears out there a little more. He's getting hammered.
With Tyrone and Nelly, give me your opinion of that.
He's getting destroyed, man.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
Tyrone's the one that pressed the what button.
Yeah,
he's getting clobbered. Now, we haven't had the you got to play Jalen Hurts. You haven't had that yet because I think people know he's not ready to play. But
yeah, he's not ready.
Carson's getting criticized a lot, man.
Well, I'm used to seeing like blood in the water. I'm seeing a little bit of a slight cut, but I don't see the blood in the water.
Oh well, yeah, I don't know. I see blood. All right, man. Listen, let me give you a trivia question here for general knowledge.
Yep.
And we are at, we're at Godfather Trivia. All right.
Okay.
So you know your Godfather?
A little bit.
All right. What was Vito buying when he was shot?
A cannoli.
Cannoli. No, man. Sorry. Why gotta be a cannoli? Oh, we gotta be a cannoli? I think I would got to be cannoli.
A little disrespect.
That is total disrespect.
A little bit.
Cannoli.
No, he was buying produce. And specifically, you know, specifically he was buying and put in a bag.
Oranges.
It was the Asian guy. First of all, he said,
I spent the Frito. I got to buy some fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that breathy.
That's
Frito. Right. So he got
up in the gun.
Frito go, okay, Pop. And so he goes over, and when what did he? He went two.
Yeah, but how? Well, what was he pointing?
Oh,
at?
He didn't point anything. You didn't see the guy put it in the bag for him. Two bags.
Yeah, what was it?
Bananas,
peppers, and oranges.
I know he likes those oranges.
Yes,
he likes those oranges.
Yeah. And he picked out the two. Yeah,
kiwi,
specific orange.
But Fredo can't even get his gun out of useless.
There he stands over.
One of my biggest arguments with Steve Martorano.
What?
I thought it was the correct thing to kill Fredo. Fredo had to go. To this day, Steve Martorano believes that it was wrong to kill Fredo. And we had it out for a long time.
Because it was his brother. Well, it's you know, come on. You can kill your brother. Could you kill your brother?
Yes. And he would kill me too. And I love my brother. We've talked about this.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a couple scenarios in which I could kill my brother. There's two scenarios in which I could kill my brother. One, that one. Like, come
well,
on.
Well, if your brother did something like what Fredo did?
Yeah, my kids play with their toys.
Fredo was young. He was
weak. Older.
He was weak and
was
stupid.
Weak, but he was older. Remember, that's his older
but
brother.
But he got used because he was weak and stupid.
So that's number one. Number two scenario would be in a monarchy situation. I'm the oldest. He's 2 years younger. If for some reason our dad tried to bypass me and make him the heir to the throne, I would then kill him to be heir to the throne. We talked about this. Those are the only two scenarios in which I would easily kill my brother. He knows. Those
That's
are the
terrible.
Two scenarios.
You'd be next in line.
No, I'm going to be next
in
line.
What Shakespearean play is that? Is that Hamlet?
You try to pass me over.
King Lear?
That's how you die.
Which one is it?
I think it's Hamlet.
It is Hamlet,
well,
right? Good
don't
grief.
Don't Hamlet me because you won't live man, to take the throne.
First of all, Johnny Ola was slick and he outfoxed the weak and stupid Fredo.
Yeah.
But Fredo couldn't help it.
Fredo has to get the gun Fredo. Out at least.
He said there was something out. In it for me. I'm no. smart.
No, you're not.
Oh, man.
I could have taken care of you. Oh, you got to take care of me? My little brother. Yeah.
You take care of me? I'm your older brother, and I got passed over.
Yeah.
610-632. And he's flailing all over the place.
Pathetic. Great career, acting career, though.
Yeah, I thought I was overacting with the flailing.
Oh, it might have been. I'm just looking at his movies before he passed away.
Like a silly duck flapping around.
A little bit.
610-632-0975. Two lines are open. You got them right here on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's good that our Twitter poll at 4:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show, and that is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, what are the numbers?
Alrighty, Mike. We have over 1,000 votes on this one today. Will Klentak and McPhail survive this offseason? 1% say Klentak will, 20% say McPhail will, 60% say neither will, and 19% say both will.
Yeah. The regime has failed. Gone. Jason painted a very bleak picture about them actually making the playoffs, so it'll be an easier decision.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's just no way. There's no way. The fans would not put up with it, just like they wouldn't put up with bringing Brett Brown back, just like they wouldn't put up with bringing Gabe Kapler back. There are some decisions that are just, you got to make them. There's no other alternative.
And you know what stinks is, this weird off season and all that kind of stuff, and they're it's just complicated. And that means there's more guys he's paying to not work. And I just wonder, if that's going to affect the payroll of the team.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they can't draft their way out of this quickly. And yeah. I don't want to wait another 4 years. So usually that means spending money, but he's already spent a lot of money for nothing. Mm-hmm. So it puts him, and I never feel bad for a billionaire ever once in my life, but it does put him in a bit of a tough spot. If you have the sixth highest payroll and you miss these playoffs, you want to spend another $50 million, another $100 million, another $200 million for what? Even then it looks like you're spending, mm-hmm. bad money after bad money. I don't know. I'm upset, Mike.
We're back to start.
But you got Bryce Harper and you're starting over.
I know. Back to start.
Nolan Wheeler and you're starting over. Those guys don't make sense on your team.
It's a new regime. Back to start. New approach. And
it's only been 10 years.
And like I said, if I'm the general manager, I tell all my scouts, listen, fellas, you're out there, you're scanning the globe. As far as the pitching staff goes, don't even write me a note unless the guy you're talking about is 96 or above. I don't want to hear from you. Don't call. Don't text. Don't write me a Christmas card. You got somebody 96? Then we can have a conversation. End of story.
That would be a welcome change.
Well, I can't find anybody. Find them.
Are you going?
Go all over the globe if you have to.
New Zealand? You fly me to New Zealand? I heard there's a Kiwi. That's hitting 98 on the gun. You want me to go get him?
That's right. Let's go to Reese in Philadelphia. Reese, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Reese.
What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, Reese?
Hey, I got a trade here. If we hire D'Antoni, is there any way that we can call Houston to make a deal work? Or I was looking at the numbers, and I see Ben Simmons and Al Horford can get you James Harden and Eric Gordon.
Oh, why would Houston do that?
Well, of course, we would throw in our pick this year from OKC, probably another pick and a player. But, I mean, Houston's not going to win with James Harden, and he's only getting older. And they can get a young star point guard to build with.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he would try to do something like that. This is why I think it's going to be really interesting on how he shapes his team if he gets the job.
I mean, would you do that, Dale?
Ben Simmons and who else?
So Horford?
Well, I tell you, getting rid of Horford I probably would do that deal.
We got the OKC pick this year, which is 21st. And we can give them our own first next
year.
Yeah,
I probably would do that. I need some guards that can score. I'm tired of having no guards that can score.
So, that'd be a good deal for the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Now.
Me either. Yeah, I'd throw Thibel in it, too, if they needed to work.
Yeah. Thibel? Nah.
Yeah, I'd throw him in.
Yeah, all right, maybe. Maybe. He's like Shamit. He's like a Shamit.
Because in another year or two, they're going to have to trade Harden. Or accept that they're not going to win with them.
Yeah.
He's 31.
I got you. I hear you. All right, bro.
Thanks, man.
Now, will you want a general knowledge question?
Definitely.
All right. Here we go. What is the name of the type of wild dog that's found in Australia?
A wild dog found in Australia?
Yes.
It can't be Ben Simmons. Nothing's wild about his game. So,
It's called a what?
I don't know.
It's called a dingo.
The dingo ate my baby.
That's correct. That's Seinfeld. Dingo ate my baby.
I knew that. Yes, there you go.
That's pretty good.
So that we need people to step up. You notice we have four winners. We have four people will win.
Yeah.
The beautiful Glen Cairn.
Right.
We only have three so far today.
We only have three wins.
That's why we didn't do 1 hour. We're going to do all four at the end because last week we did 1 hour. We only had six people the whole show. Uh-huh. And now we're behind that pace. And these questions have not been that.
They have been hard. No, they haven't been hard.
So I need the people.
Okay.
To step up a little bit.
Yeah,
so
all right. People step up.
Come on.
Jake on a cell. Jake, you're on 97.5 for now. Jake.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Jake?
Big fan for years since S&M.
Thanks, buddy.
So, really, I wanted to talk about the Eagles, and then listening to JT Realmuto, it's infuriating. It's going to the NICU. Hold on. I'm trying to park by Children's Hospital over there. He's asking for my pass.
What are you doing?
I'm parking by Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
Oh.
And he's asking for my pass.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Have a good one. Anyway, so I want to talk about the Eagles. I feel like if I didn't know any better, I would think that the Eagles are deliberately sabotaging Carson Wentz just to put in that hurts.
Well, we have talked about that possibility. Now, I don't think they're deliberately sabotaging him, but I think in their mind, you know, it's like in Seinfeld where Kramer said, oh, in my mind, Jerry, I'm gone. I think in their mind, they're gone on moving to that Hurts type of transition.
It's insane. And it's like like you said, I think yesterday, they either are brilliant for making the move, the draft pick, or they're complete fools. And you can never really know until it actually happens.
Yeah, I would hate to think that they're complete fools, that they actually wasted a second round pick on a guy that can only be a backup quarterback. I can't believe it. Or a gadget player. I just refuse to believe it, that they're that foolish.
I can only hope you're right. And I was just thinking about Elaine Bennett said, maybe the dingo ate your baby.
The dingo ate your baby. Now, Jake, it's your lucky day on General Knowledge Wednesday because I know your man seems like you've been around for a while. All right, so this is name a valid answer in music. Now, I'm only going to ask you for two of these. And here's the question. A first name that appears in the title of a Beatles song. Give me two first names from Beatles songs in the title.
Just the songs, not the albums.
Just the song. There are 12 songs where the first name of somebody appears in the title.
I'm not a Beatles guy. I am not a Beatles
but these
guy.
Are famous songs. What's the song, Jake?
I'm not a Beatles guy, what can I tell you?
Oh, I don't believe it. Hey, Jude.
Don't be afraid. It's enough, I won't
Eleanor
say.
Rigby.
Yeah, Eleanor, Michelle.
Lucy in the sky with diamond. Yeah. Maxwell Silver hammer came down. Oh, yeah. Michelle, my belle. Dear Prudence. Rocky Raccoon.
Right.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Come on.
Everybody knows Hey Jude.
Hey Jude.
Although it was supposed
Lucy
to be.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Hey Jules.
It was. They changed it.
Yeah. But either way.
Well.
That's a bad.
I thought my man was going to get that. I would have gave him one if he would have got Hey Jude. I sang the song.
Yeah.
All right, Bob in Maryland. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Bob?
Man, I'll tell you, dude. Carson, I'll tell you what, I've never seen him play that bad. I mean, we're going back to, I think he even played better last year before he got hurt. And, of course, Foles, I guess, had to take over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the numbers reveal that he's been horrible.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, man. It's like, and that guy that said that Carson was better than McNabb?
Yeah, that's foolish.
Old Tyrell,
that's,
man?
That's like, it. Listen, I know where we...
I agree with Tyrell. McNabb was 10 times better than Carson.
Yeah, okay? I understand we have an axe to grind with McNabb, but we shortchanged
him. Well, here's the way I rank my quarterbacks for the Eagles, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'll put McNabb number one. Well, actually, Foles, to be truthful, okay? But McNabb, and then I go to Jaws, Randall Cunningham, and then maybe Carson.
You put Foles one?
Well, because he won a Super Bowl for the Eagles.
Come on,
for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Come on, Bob.
How's everyone doing?
Come on.
What's that?
Come on. Number one, come on.
I know what you're saying. technically, you know what I'm saying?
No, I...
But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, he was a temp. I can't put him on.
I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, I can't put him on the list of guys that actually played.
But
a lot
I can
of
put
games.
Foles again atop of Carson.
No, you can't.
I don't know about that.
You just can't even do that. But all right, see, this is a good day for you to call because, as fate would have it, in general knowledge, you get the NFL quarterbacks question.
I do?
Yes, you do. All right, so we're talking about the number of wins, the 100-win club. Now, we have revealed earlier in the show that number one is Brady. There's a tie for two with Favre and Manning. And Drew Brees is three with 163 wins. Give me one of the next two guys on the list. One has 148 wins. The other has 147 wins.
God, I'm trying to think. I think Eli Manning is getting up there.
Is Eli Manning your answer?
I'm going to say Eli Manning.
Eli Manning is not even close. Ridiculous. Soon we forget John Elway and Dan Marino. Eli Manning comes up before those two.
A little disrespect.
Quick 3-minute break. Back with your calls after this.
More of the Mike Missanelli Show in 3 minutes on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
By now you've heard about FanDuel Sportsbook's world-class sports betting app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets with some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. Constant enhanced odds boost, and they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. That's $1,000, and FanDuel is providing customers the opportunity to double up on your winnings through their exclusive NFL, NBA, and NHL double-ups. Got to check them out. I told you about the football double up last week. Place a pregame money line wager, and if your team scores 35 points or more, double your winnings. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started, and be sure to sign up with code Natalie. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Natalie. Must be 21 plus and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Site credit non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER.
Our homes today are like little cities full of different interneting boroughs, like the entertainment district in the living room or the virtual fitness center in the garage. And Xfinity Internet keeps it all running smoothly with the fastest speed to power all your devices at once. You get coverage around town, from the financial district home office to the spa. Plus, get added protection to help keep your Wi-Fi network safe, like an at-home police station.
Xfinity Internet keeps your little city humming with reliable speed, coverage, and added security. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. You'll get fast, reliable speed and the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. And now, you can get advanced security free when you get the XFi Gateway. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. Ends 12/2020. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Limited to Performance Pro Internet with up to 200 megabits per second download speed. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary, not guaranteed.
When you have a chronic condition that requires infusions or injections, you have choices for your treatment. Hi, this is Anthony Gargano for Exceva Wellness Centers. Exceva's team of pharmacists, nurses, and care coordinators can manage your medical infusion therapy in their private infusion suites with massage chairs, snacks, a flat screen TV. Best of all, infusion suites are covered by insurance. Visit Exceva.com to connect with a patient care coordinator before your next infusion.
It's your month, America, because this is Ford Truck Month. Your month for great deals on legendary Ford trucks like F-150, Super Duty, and Ranger. Your month to drive Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks 43 years straight. Your month for big-time power, off-road capability, and turning heads around town. Your month to, well, you get the idea.
Based on 1977 through 2019 calendar year total sales.
Great deals, tough trucks. Oh, yeah, it's Ford Truck Month, all right.
More of the Mike Missanelli Show now
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Artie, we're only on TV for a few more minutes because they are leaving us to go to Phillies baseball and pregame show, and then the Phils at 6:05. If 6:05 start, they're actually favorites. I think they'll win tonight. They have Eric Fetty, he stinks, and Eflin's been okay. The Phillies are a -150 favorite. Or it's 140 now. Don't win tonight.
Nah, I think they lose out.
You do? Lose Al?
Yep.
No, they're winning tonight. I'm actually going to bet them.
All right.
So,
I mean,
yeah, so,
I've got money to burn.
It's 5 o'clock hour. We solely on radio, folks. So spread the word that we're still on, even if TV leaves us. So let's go to Bobito in West Philly. What's up, Bobito?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you doing?
Good, man.
All right. I want to talk about these Sixers. Can you explain to me what the heck is going on right now? We've got less than a week before the draft combine is supposed to start, and we haven't fired the entire front office yet. They all need to go. We have the worst.
The front office the front office has already been settled.
They said they were going to make
as far as Elton Brand is concerned, he's the major guy. You're talking about the Ned Rice's and those guys.
Ned Rice
is the Phillies. Who am I thinking of? What assistant? Yeah, it doesn't matter because Elton's already made it clear that he's going to make all the decisions.
Well, that's terrible because he should have been fired. I mean, we have the worst contract in all of basketball.
You got to live with what it is. They already settled it. So Elton's got now control. So
okay, well, then let's go to the coach. You're talking about D'Antoni. This is a guy who played small ball. That's what he wanted. That's the exact opposite of our roster.
Yeah, but he's also played other ball.
And wasn't he under Brett Brown at some point?
No, he was a head coach who the Sixers hired as an assistant. He really wasn't technically under Brett Brown. He was just got a job.
I don't want anyone associated with Brett Brown.
D'Antoni's been a head coach of five teams in the league.
He's a good coach. I just don't think our roster would work with him. But
we'll see how he works with him. He's an innovative guy.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully, but
if it's him, I don't know if it's him. Maybe it's some unknown character. Maybe it's some assistant they've done research on. Who
not
knows?
Not much out there, I know. But then to the owner, I keep hearing these whispers about this guy trying to put the stadium in Camden. Is that real?
The Sixers? Yeah.
Yeah. There's whispers about moving the stadium there.
Of course
ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, I'm gonna.
What's ridiculous about it? If you own a team, you can put it anywhere you want to maximize your profit, right? I mean, I would prefer that they approved the thing on Penn's Landing. They didn't, so now they don't want to pay rent. They want to get their own stadium. It's only good business.
Well, what's wrong with the stadium we have?
They pay rent. They don't own it. They pay rent there. They want their own thing. They can do their own business. You know what it is, Bobito? Come on. Well, you get your own arena, you can put other events in it, the whole thing.
Yeah, but Camden, we cannot let that happen as a city.
I don't think you could stop it, frankly. It's commonplace in professional sports where owners move their teams to suburbs or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, Bobito, you ready for your general knowledge question?
Yeah, sure.
It's The Godfather. You know The Godfather?
I've only seen the first one.
All right, well, this is about the first one.
Right.
Complete the Vito Corleone quote.
Mm.
But I didn't know until this day it was blank all along.
Fredo.
These are embarrassing. These answers to The Godfather are embarrassing.
Tough.
The guy goes cannoli, and he goes Fredo.
It's a very specific movie.
Fredo. It was Fredo,
all along.
Like that was his childhood friend.
It was Bozzini all along. It's embarrassing me.
One of the heads of the five families, Fredo.
Phil in Westchester. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Phil?
A little frustrating, but don't you think Carson Wentz kind of feels like Giroud did in the playoffs where they're pressing because they feel a lot of pressure? Like all that money, everything that they've done, and Giroud, especially with years and years playing here.
No, I don't think it's the same. I think that Giroud is running out of juice. I don't think it was pressure that he didn't perform. He's not the same player. Carson Wentz is in the physical prime of his life.
I don't think it's I'm not talking about like pressure. I think they're pressing, like they're forcing themselves to try to be better. I mean, Wentz is already in that realm, and Giroud was.
But Giroud, did you think Giroud's failure because he was pressing or because he's got very little left?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, 32 years old, he's smaller, but at the same time, I mean, he's got one of the best hand eyes still to this day, and he also
makes almost every correct play. They just press it, especially on the power play. Like, you see him pressing. They're trying to force the issue all the time, just trying to win.
Well, it seemed to me he was afraid to shoot. He was afraid to be aggressive. I don't know. I can't speak to Drew. The Carson Wentz thing, I'm tired of giving him excuses now. That's enough. If he's pressing, that's his own head. Listen, you have the job. You're a franchise quarterback. Let's start playing. Enough.
Now, do you think they win if he doesn't get knocked out last year by Clowney?
Probably.
You think they win that game?
Probably.
Yeah, I think they do, too. And with regards to the Sixers, by the way, where's the restart? You think it starts now? You think it starts next year? I mean, there's too much money to too many people that don't really perform.
They're going to have to be creative, depending on what coach they get and what that coach wants to do. They're going to have to get creative. I don't think they're going to move the top two guys, so that means they're going to have to be more creative.
Can Tyronn Lue really be the coach after the step over? You think they're going to respect him?
Yeah, that would have nothing to do with anything. All right, man, you want a general knowledge question? Here we go.
Go ahead.
The general knowledge category is this. What a company purchased Skype in 2011?
Microsoft.
That's correct. Microsoft is correct.
And they killed it, and now it's all about Microsoft Teams.
Yep.
I mean, Skype exists, but they basically killed it.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to say goodbye to our TV audience. We have Sal Pal today coming up. Sorry, Sal Pal today. We had to change the day from yesterday to today. So we'll have Sal Pal at 5:15 on radio only. 5 o'clock hour on radio. We say goodbye to our TV audience for the warm-up and Phillies pregame live. 610-632-0975. General Knowledge Wednesday continues on the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. And the 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. No money down. Up to 3 years to pay it off. Interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. So, General Knowledge, you've been playing along today with us. We still have a big 5 o'clock hour ahead for some people to qualify for our prizes today. Four lucky listeners will receive a bottle of D.B. Johnson straight bourbon, a mermaid shirt, and two Glencairn tasting glasses, courtesy of the new Mermaid Spirits Distillery in Huntington Valley. You can check them out online at mermaidspirits.com. Some news just for and today's general knowledge also presented by Tesla North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testa. Some news just broke.
What's happening?
President Trump put in some new restrictions, which go into effect tomorrow, banning the purchase of Cuban cigars in third-party countries, such as the UK, France, and Canada. So you're not allowed to buy Cuban cigars, Cuban rum, or to stay in Cuban hotels.
What does that mean for
my Cuban cigar?
Yeah.
Well, I still got to connect.
Okay.
So, fully on you. I still got mines.
That decision was made for Florida.
It was?
Yeah. The Cuban community down there, which historically always votes Republican anyway, out of fear of socialism.
Yeah.
Does not like anything about Cuba, so that's a move. He's already ahead on the polls in Florida. He won Florida last time, so it's not really a state that's in play, but it's a way to assure that the Cuban-American vote will show up in Florida because they are, for good reason, because of what they went through, anti-Cuban prosperity for the Castros.
Yeah. Hmm. The Cubans know they're not going to be socialism.
Yes, yes.
Different. Do they understand that?
Oh, boy.
That's a different story, but
yeah, all right. I'm curious. Maybe I go down and tell them, you know? All right, yeah, let's go back to the phones and go Josh and Delran. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Nat. Hey, Tyrone.
What's up, Josh?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Carson Wentz situation. I think I have a pretty good idea of what's going on with this thing. Pretty much when we heard Doug Peterson talking, we kind of heard a frustrated coach, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And when he said, you guys kind of focused on when he said that it was a good question about regressing. But the next part he says more than I think he wanted to. Because he said, you guys seen Carson Wentz's demeanor. You've been around him. Basically, he's saying, I can't get through to this guy. I'm trying to tell him things, and he's not adjusting. He's doing the same things over and over again. And I feel like Doug Peterson feels like they've done everything that they can do at this point. Carson Wentz is who he is. And that's a very scary thing if that's how they...
Yeah, I think that was part of the reason why he was so giddy on draft day when they took Hurts. I think he believes that he would rather have a guy that he can mold from the jump than the guy that he apparently can't get on the same page with.
Well, absolutely. I think Doug Peterson, and I don't necessarily agree with this completely, but I think Doug Peterson feels like he has had enough success with both Carson and Nick Foles, that as a coach, he's in a better position than Carson Wentz is. Because all we can see from Carson Wentz is the younger 2017 season, where he's pretty much beholden to Peterson and doing what he says do. And Peterson is saying, now you're not running the offense right. Mm-hmm. We had a couple years where Carson Wentz only saw Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
And if he's putting the plays down to one or two reads, and then you put in your backup, and your backup is seeing four or five reads and spreading the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
Then Peterson's saying, I need to bring somebody in here who's going to do what I need them to do on these plays so that we can make a more diverse offense.
All right. I think that he is exasperated. I don't know if he has the clout to be exasperated. I don't know if I have enough faith in Doug to go, oh, I see, you're a great coach. So I see why you're exasperated. You see what I'm saying? I straddle that line. Yeah, but
he's proven to be a good coach. Maybe not great, but I mean, in 2017, for him to overcome what he overcame, you would give any other coach the credit for that. When you lost your left tackle, your running back, your quarterback, all those things, and you managed to coach your backup to a Super Bowl. And then on top of that, Mike, a lot of people give Frank Wright the credit. But if you remember, the next season, without Frank Wright, Carson Wentz goes down. And Foles comes in and against the Rams and against the Texans, against Washington, gets them back to a playoff berth. And an offense that was spreading the ball around again.
Yeah.
So how's everyone doing?
Yeah, I got you. All right. Yeah. Listen, it's the general knowledge question time for you. And this is name a valid answer. So I'm going to ask you to name two valid answers on this question. Rapper, or a loosely defined rapper, who starred in a movie that grossed at least $300 million worldwide.
Well, you're asking the wrong person.
Yeah,
I'm a chaplain. I have no idea about rappers.
Oh, okay. But you would know who these people are, I think. They're pretty mainstream names.
Tupac?
No, not Tupac. No. I'm sorry, Pastor. That would have been easy. Obviously, the biggest name is Will Smith. Grossed $300 million worldwide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're not going like true rap, like just a loosely defined.
I was thinking Method Man.
Ludacris was in a movie.
Was my first guess, and then I was going to say Method Man.
A lot of
Luda, $300 million.
Is Ice Cube in there?
Luda was in Crash, right?
Yeah, but he's mostly been in the Fast and Furious. That's where the money came from.
Okay, all right. Queen Latifah. What movie grossed $300 million worldwide? What she was being?
It's
Girls Trip.
$300 million?
Girls Trip was a big movie.
Mark Wahlberg is in the category. That's a film.
Yeah.
Ice Cube.
Yeah, I thought, yeah.
And Donald Glover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Childish Gambino. Yeah. Was
the supreme talent.
Well, what was the movie? 300 mil.
He was in Solo.
Okay.
Solo.
Okay.
Yeah, he plays Lando.
Okay. So, all right. There it is. That was an interesting question. All right, let's go Kevin in Downingtown. Kevin, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Kevin.
Yo, guys, how's it going?
What's up, Kev?
Love you guys. Mike, I just hope that next year we get to do the tournament. You know what I'm saying? But I wanted
to... You're talking about the golf tournament.
I'm talking about the golf
tournament. I guess it's we haven't had an official word, but I guess we can't do it in October.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big Carson Wentz fan. So I need to know, is it really Carson or is it the scheme? I mean, is he really missing a lot of what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really good question, Kevin. I look at him and he doesn't seem to be plugged in. And I don't think they helped him at all in the first game. The game plan is not taking advantage of a moving pocket with him, and I don't understand why that is. I don't understand. It's so easy to call different formations, different plays to get him loosened up a little bit, and they don't seem to be doing it. But he's not playing well. Open pockets, resting, comfortable pockets. He's not making throws out of.
I'm thinking he's just so damn tight, but you know he shouldn't be tight because he's getting paid a lot of money. He's going to be a franchise quarterback, so I'm just befuddled.
He looks stiff to me. He does look stiff. That's why I watched golf last week again. And golf's all loose and rubber manish, and my man is tight.
All right. Well, I really was hoping that he would, because Nick Foles won that Super Bowl. I was hoping that he would come back and win one eventually.
But. Yeah, I hear you. I got you. But listen, I think he's going to have a resurgence this week. I think he's going to actually have a big game, and we're going to be talking about it differently. But until then, you know, it's a concern.
But then you got to worry about that defense, too, because that guy Burrow, that kid could come out and light us up.
Yeah, I think, he's due to hit a wall.
Okay.
I think it could be this weekend.
I'm hoping, man. I am hoping. Because my brother keeps calling me, Carson Wentz thinks. I'm like, it's two games into the season. Give it a break. Two games into the season. Let's see what happens, you know. So.
Yeah. All right. Your category is NFL quarterbacks, as they would have it here. The 100 win club. All right. So we went down the list so far. It's been Brady with 219, Favre and Manning 186, Drew Brees 163, John Elway 148, Dan Marino 147. The next guy on the list is at 144. Who is it? And I could tell you that he is still playing.
Oh, shucks. He's still playing. Oh, God. I am, like, lost right now.
In fact, he's on the Eagles schedule this year.
What's the guy? Is the guy still playing with the beard that's played for so many damn teams?
Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
No. Sorry. It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Is it Rodgers?
It's Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah. You've been around a long time.
144.
Been around a long time.
For the Steelers.
Won a couple of Super Bowls.
Troy, Northeast Philly. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Troy.
Mike, what's going on, bro?
What's going on, Troy?
Listen, man, I meant to call you earlier and mess with you, bro. You know, all them storms we had, I was calling in and checking on the red canoe, but I couldn't get through.
The red canoe. Yeah, my neighbor's.
I know that.
You talking about my neighbor's canoe?
Yeah. What's up, man? Did it come over to you?
No. In fact, I think they got rid of it. I don't see it around anymore.
Oh, they got tired of chasing it down the street, huh?
I guess they did. It was too light.
Listen, man. What I was calling you about, man. I heard you say last week, a couple of weeks ago, maybe you wanted Donovan. He's off the table now. I don't know. I have a feeling about Antonio. I just don't want them to get Lou, man. I don't know. But they not mention anything about Nate McMillan or Jason Kidd. What's your thoughts on those?
Yeah, I don't think Kidd's in the mix at all. And they have, I don't think they're going with McMillan. I haven't heard anything about those two guys.
No?
Now, they may have a mystery guy. If they have a mystery guy, it's an assistant.
Okay.
And this could be a ruse. This D'Antoni Lou thing could be a ruse. And then behind the scenes, they're really ferreting out some kind of an interesting Nick Nurse type of selection. But D'Antoni is intriguing only because I think I'm used to this slog now with the Sixers and the way they play under Brett Brown. He would be different in some form. And it's almost be interesting to see what he would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And when they were talking about Donovan, that was like a direct link to Chris Paul, but Antonio still would have a link to Chris Paul, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Chris Paul, the guy, if they made the trade, mm-hmm. Tyrone, they made the trade, they get the three guards, Harden, Eric mm-hmm. Gordon, and Chris Paul. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't. You can't get all of them.
Can't do it?
No.
They don't got to get all three. Just give me one, man. Just yeah. Chris Paul. That's yeah. all I take.
Chris Paul might be in play, man. That's going to be interesting.
Listen, I don't care how old he is, man. He's better than what we got right now, and we need to have that little that.
Troy, you Godfather, man, because that's where the category we're in.
Man, you might as well go ahead and drop the call, man. I never watched that in my life, bro. I know I'm violation.
What?
You can give me any question. I'll try my best.
No, I'm not giving you the question if you never watched it. Get out. It's the category, man.
Not watching the movie.
Well, here would be the question. What does Fabrizio yell at the American soldiers in Sicily? In fact, I'll change that question. Fabrizio, at the American soldiers in Sicily, and he's got the gun on his hand, he's protecting Michael Corleone. As the GIs go by, he goes, hey, American, GI, a GI, but, he drops the name of an actor when he's yelling to the GIs. Which actor does he say to the GIs?
I honestly don't remember that. Which one he said. I don't know.
Hey, American, GI, Clark Gable.
Yeah. All right. Plus, that whole thing makes me sad.
What does? GIs?
No, the whole thing in Italy and poor Apollonia.
No. We'll see her.
Monday, Thursday, Saturday.
you liked Apollonia?
Like her.
I think she was a little bit of a brat, to be honest with you. Yeah, I wasn't digging Apollonia that much.
I could see why she wouldn't be your type.
They turned into a little bit of a brat. She was so sweet and innocent at first.
Well, she got with an American man, and he was telling the big stories about the big family and what they were going to do, and, you know.
Someone said
she wanted to learn how to drive.
Yeah.
Someone said I looked like her before.
What's that?
Do I look like her? I don't remember what she looks like.
A little bit,
but not a lot.
Said I looked like her mixed with somebody else. I can't remember who. But I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, you know. She went down. It's up there in those Sicily streets.
It must be.
All right, let's talk some football. With normally we have the Tuesdays with Sal, but we moved it over to Wednesday today. And of course, the great Sal Palantonio, ESPN's number one football reporter, is brought to us by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Well, Sal Pal, it's trouble in Philadelphia with the football team.
Michael, how does 0-2 feel to you?
Believe me, people are going crazy here. It's bitter, it's ugly, it's like there's no uplifting situation right now in Philly sports, and the Eagles are adding to it.
Oh, well, I've been listening, and I hear from my friends, I hear from everybody. You know, they've had great success under Doug Peterson, won the Super Bowl, he's never been 0-2 before. This was completely unexpected considering how the team ended the season last year, particularly how Carson Wentz ended the season last year. Going 4-0, I realize he was hurt in the playoff game, but he had a tremendous end to the season, and no one anticipated this. Count me in, that group. I did not anticipate this.
Well, explain to me the Wentz thing, if you can, and then explain to me the dynamic between the quarterback and the coach, which seems to be interesting right now.
Yeah, Michael, see, we're very limited now because we have no access to the players or the coaches. Other than through text. And that's extremely limited. This is the first time that's ever happened. You can't go into the locker room after the game. You can't go on the field before the game. You can't go into the locker room during the week. So it's very difficult as a reporter to ascertain the truth. There's a lot of theories out there. And I can test a couple of the theories out with you. I've talked to a lot of people about them. How does Wentz go from 4-0 and carry an undermanned team into the postseason to 0-2, where he's already thrown half as many interceptions as he had all last season? He's constantly fumbling the ball. And here's the troubling number for me, and I'm sure you've heard a litany of statistics all weekend long and for the first 2 days of this week. Mikey's got 20 off-target throws. That's most in the NFL. 15 of them, 15 of the 20, are with a clean pocket, not under duress, not under pressure.
That's so, not good.
No. So, you know, I've asked a lot of experts to look at him on film because, you know, I'm not a quarterback coach. And they say his footwork is off, or that he's rushing throws, that he just looks like, you know, he can't hit an open guy, like a Chuck Knoblauch situation.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's just got a little bit of the, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the poor decision-making, that interception in the end zone, throws it into double coverage. Mike, throws it into double coverage late. And it's a poor decision to begin with on a first down. So let's go through the theories. One, he's coming off a concussion. He doesn't want to move out of the pocket. That's theory number one. That's very troubling. Theory number two is he's got coaching by committee, no offensive coordinator. He's got Morningwig, Scangarella, and Press Taylor, and Doug Peterson. He's got four guys. And when you have a committee, you don't have accountability. That's something that could be looked at. You know, he's obviously under serious pressure in the first game. Maybe in the second game, he was seeing stuff that wasn't there. That's a possibility. So there's a lot, you know, and then I'm not crazy about the wide receiver situation. That's another thing. But he overcame that at the end of last year. So I'm looking to validate one of these theories and see where it takes us. But right now, they have dug in their heels and have said, we're going to fix this. We believe in ourselves. We haven't lost confidence.
Well, that's all well and good. And now let's talk about the relationship here because, you know, it was a very peculiar answer that when he was asked the question, how come Carson has regressed? And the head coach said, that's a good question. So, in other words, he's giving credence to it, which you don't find many, many coaches give credence to. Is there a problem between these two men as far as getting on the same page?
I don't think that there is. I know them both very well. I communicate with Doug a lot, and I don't think that they have a communication problem, and I don't think that they have a relationship problem. So I don't think that that's one of the answers. Now, he's as perplexed as a lot of people who are watching Carson. Sure. I mean, if he doesn't have an answer, I think Doug is telling the truth. Doug, you know, I think he's as perplexed as everybody else. You know, he gave that answer about the pandemic, you know, and that was silly. And that, to me, was not only didn't it resonate with fans, it had no confidence once it left his lips with anybody who is listening in the media. But if you're a player on that team, what are you saying? Right? What are you saying? You're saying that Carson has got a problem that everybody else doesn't have. Everybody's going through the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, it's all these guys, and this should not be undersold, and that could be part of the theory, believe me, because these guys are getting tested every single day. Now, people who are getting tested that much, there's a lot of stress. It's literally like rolling the dice. It's Russian roulette. You don't know what the result is going to be. You don't know what you've been exposed to. Just imagine every day you wake up and you have to be COVID tested every single day in order to go to work. And if you test positive, bang, you're out. 14 days on the shelf. And then you got to test negative two or three times before you come back to work. That's serious stress level. And these guys have been tested every single day since the end of July. Every player, every coach, every staff member in Tier 2. And I know there's stress because I've talked to coaches about it. Not players, because we don't have access to players.
Well, let's look at the possible game plan tweaks that they could make, because we looked at the first game and I just thought that it was ridiculous that they didn't really try anything different to get him out of the pocket or to draw play, screen plays, whatever. Why are they afraid to get him out of the pocket like before when he, you know, was kind of playing with more abandon?
It's dumb, and I don't know why, and they need to fix it. If you look at the Rams and how that was designed by Sean McVay. Now, I'm not a big Sean McVay guy. You know, I've come on this show and said, Sean McVay, coach of the year. Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson beat his brains in with no problem in L.A. twice, okay, and with the backup quarterback. So Doug has had his number. And then Sean McVay just comes out and says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll the guy out, and we're going to have three levels of options. Now, you go back and look at it. Even if you look at it on TV, you can see he's got an underneath route, he's got a middle route and a deep route, and in most cases, all three were open. All because Goff was on the run. When Goff was on the out of the pocket, now you got to dedicate a hat to Goff, whether it's a linebacker or a safety. The same thing you should be doing with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you talking to Doug about that? Has he said anything to you about that?
It's simple. It's simple. Yeah, it's simple. Everybody's talking to him about it. But again, you don't have an offensive coordinator. You got a passing game coordinator, and you got two consultants in Morningwig and Scangarella. So take that for what it's worth. You don't have a guy who's designing every single week and says, this is my design, this is my imprint, this is what we're doing with this
guy. Does the head coach think that's faulty? Or obviously he doesn't.
We haven't been asked. We haven't asked him about that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have not asked him about that. Definitely not. But you could also see what happened on the other side of the ball, Mike. There's a lot of blame to spread around.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, what did McVay do? He attacked those linebackers like crazy. He absolutely went after him. He looked at the tape of the first game and said, "These guys can't tackle. They can't go sideline to sideline."
Yeah.
If I give him a face mask full of my big back, I'm going to run right through him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the third level, Malcolm is not there. He's not coming through the door anytime soon. You got Jalen Mills, who's less experienced, smaller, and just not the leader on defense that Malcolm Jenkins was.
Well, all right.
So we're always, the team's 0-2, and you know people are saying what happens on Sunday against the Bengals. Well, they got to win the game. And people are saying, well, you know, they got to cover in order to really convince anybody. No, they don't. They just got to win a game because, you know, they're not going to go to San Francisco and win.
No, we're looking at 1-5, even if they win the game.
If they win the game, so they just got to win the game and try to get some confidence and identity in what they do and then make a trip across the country and see what happens.
All right. Sal, pal, always a pleasure. Good to talk to you on Wednesday.
Yeah, what's a Wednesday?
Wednesday's what's up.
Once in a while. We'll stick a Wednesday in there.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sorry, talk to you.
Sal Powell brought to us by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's #1 casino. Let's take a break. We'll come back, coming down the home stretch with phone calls on General Knowledge Wednesday after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, let's get our final Twitter poll numbers today. And brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, zero turn, other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online, paulbmoyer.com, or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Natalie, the final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,000 votes on this one today. Will Klentak and McPhail survive this offseason? 1% say Klentak will. 20% say McPhail will. 61% say neither will. 18% say both will. So the majority, I guess, believe they're both gone.
Yeah, and it's really, it's kind of a, just to me, a foregone conclusion. I think it would be shocking if they didn't go. It's time for a new regime. All right, we're coming down the home stretch of General Knowledge Wednesday, presented by Tesla North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Tesla. Four lucky listeners will receive a bottle of DB Johnson Straight Bourbon from mermaidspirits.com. You'll also get a mermaid shirt. You get two Glencairn tasting glasses. Mermaid Spirits, small craft distillery in Huntington Valley. Yeah. By the way, my daughter Kira weighs in with the correct answer on the Queen Latifah $300 million gross movie.
Oh.
Chicago.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, put Kira in the list for the bourbon. Then I'll get it.
Didn't love it.
What, Chicago?
Yeah, didn't love it.
I didn't love it either.
Yes.
And I'm not against a musical, but I didn't love it.
Wasn't a Zellweger in that?
Yeah, Richard Gere.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I love her. Renee Zellweger, I can give or take.
Yeah, I can see why. But she straightened out.
Yeah.
She got a little cuckoo.
Well, I mean,
she straightened out a little bit.
I liked her in Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, well, that was her first innocent. And then she's like, in many ways, a player who comes to the big leagues as a sweetheart and then gets nuts. Like the Scott Rowland.
Right.
But she's the Scott Rowland of movies.
Wow.
There you go.
All right, let's go to T-Love on a cell. T-Love, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's up, T-Love?
Hey, listen, man, when my connect dries up and you still got yours, right? I can come see you, right?
No, man. See, I don't throw out Cuban cigars. They go my personal stash.
Oh man, come on!
I look like Santa Claus. There's like bands like pieces of gold.
That's all right. Hey, listen. Hey, about this sports thing. Hey, listen. As bad as Carson has been, I mean, has WP been that much better?
No. Well, listen, he won a Super Bowl, so yeah. I mean, you can't take that away from him. But like I don't know. I don't know what to think of the guy. I don't think he's that savvy a coach on game day. I think the good coaches, I think, figure it out and adjust. And like, I don't see that with him.
Well, when has it been that every team we have is supposed to make the playoffs and supposed to be good and got all of these great players, that high-priced players, and they all just don't add up? I mean, the front office is terrible. They don't know who to draft. We got the same problem. I say this all the time, man. I can call it the same speech every week, man. We got to get rid of each one of these front offices. We got to bring in some real baseball, football, basketball people. How does Howie Roseman survive, you know, draft after draft? You know, and you all you got to do is look at the front office and tell what's wrong with these teams. You look at the coach. The why is the quarterback regressing?
I don't know. And the coach said that's a good question. The coach said that's a good question. So he agrees with you. All right, man. You want your own knowledge question?
Yeah, man. All my right. Short-term memory is messed up.
All right.
Anyway.
You should know this one. General knowledge category. How many keys are found on a typical piano?
81.
You missed it by seven, bro. Is it Eric Lindros? 88. Keys on a piano.
Yeah, I never knew that.
I thought it was 86. So
88.
Yeah, I played the piano too for a hot second.
There you go. Yeah, 88.
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
There you go. I play Color My World.
You do?
Chicago, you know that song by Chicago? Color my world.
You can play that on the piano?
Yeah. I learned to play it on piano. We had a piano. My sister was supposed to play it. She took lessons for a while.
Yeah.
Just sat there. And then I, actually took it when we cleaned out. My parents passed and we cleaned out everything. I took the piano and had it in my townhouse.
See, I think maybe the piano might be easier than the acoustic guitar for the next rump shaker.
Yeah,
you can bust out the keyboard.
Yeah, I sit there and dabble. Then I donated it to a school.
Oh,
well, that's very nice.
Get
they
a
take
keyboard.
Up a lot of space, those pianos.
Yeah, they do.
And most people I know who have a piano don't have anybody who lives in the house who actually plays it.
Yeah.
It's in that
extra
room.
The idea of the piano is that somebody will learn to play it, and invariably somebody does start lessons, and then they get tired and don't want to go to lessons anymore.
Then it gets all out of tune, and now it's just this big piece of furniture sitting in the extra room.
That is correct. But people come in and go, oh, you play? And you go, I occasionally dabble.
Let me play a little ditty for you.
Right now, my fingers are arthritic, but I have played. Let's take a break. Last break of the day. We'll come back. Sound off. Coming your way after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be faking me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same-Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. 610-771-9705. You got something to say? Hit us up on that number and leave us a message, and we review all the messages. We get a lot of them, and we select ones that we think you'll enjoy. So let's hit up with sound off today.
Adam Morgan puts down 4 batters, 16 pitches. But you bring in that horrific bullpen when maybe you have a chance of getting through an inning. So you have Phelps come in, and then you have good old JoJo in one pitch throw a cookie to Juan Soto for a 3-run homer. I can't even watch anymore.
Yeah, it was probably the wrong move. Let's not get Adam Morgan confused with, like, Billy Wagner or something. Like, he's got a shelf life, too. Who knows what he was staying in and faced and what would have happened.
You know what's funny about this fan base is that we have absolutely no problem discarding Wentz, a quarterback in the NFL, for Hurts, a guy who's never played in the NFL. But there's this paralyzing fear that if we let Ben Simmons go, we'll never find anybody else, and then all of a sudden he'll become LeBron Jr. as soon as he takes the Sixers jersey off. I love this fan base. We are absolutely the crazy.
Well, it's two different things, I think, there. It's like kind of apples and oranges.
No, I think it's very similar.
You do?
Yeah, because I think that if they get rid of Wentz, I do think it will haunt them. And I think if they got rid of Ben, I think it absolutely will haunt the Sixers as well.
Yeah, but you can't be afraid of what's going to haunt you if it's not working out here.
I agree with that.
So, so what? If it haunts you, it haunts you. But it wasn't working out here. What are you going to do? Just keep playing the same tune?
I guess.
Here's the problem with your theory, Mike, about the idea that maybe the Eagles front office is looking forward and looking at the run-style quarterbacks like Kyler and Lamar and said, hey, we need a quarterback like that. Here's the problem with that. Does this organization draft any other position well? No. Do they draft wide receivers well? No. Do they drive running backs well? No. Defenders well? No.
Well, I can't tell you it's going to work out. I can only tell you what I think the mindset is. So, yeah, maybe they will have miscalculated it. Who knows? But I think that they like that kind of style quarterback because it's the shiny new toy. And it would be, you know, take it. The other thing is, it's Doug's brand. Like, he can take that guy and mold him because he comes in. He's not a high draft pick. He's not this and that. I think it would appeal to this organization.
I heard you just say that maybe the Eagles are being forward-thinking about this. Howie Roseman and all them guys, they're all thinking forward about the idea that the league is becoming more based around a run-style Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson kind of quarterback. Let's give the benefit of the doubt to Howie Roseman. Let's say that he actually does think with his brain. What makes you think he picked the right quarterback in Jalen Hurts?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I never claimed that he was the right quarterback. Yeah, he might not be. Well, he could be. I don't know. All I know is they start doing cartwheels when they got him. Why? For some substitutional player or a backup quarterback? Come on.
Mike, this is total panic by Philadelphia on the Eagles with Wentz. I don't know if he's the guy that's going to be here in a couple years. I don't know if it's Jalen Hurts or what it is. But right now, we're not getting rid of Carson Wentz. We're not benching Carson Wentz after two games. And I, in fact, willing to let the year play out to see what happens before I would ever consider sitting Carson Wentz.
Well, let's play out the year. And they're 2-7. But then what? Yeah, we're going to play out the year. They're 2-7. What happens? Man.
Well, at that point, they'll
transition. Do you change it up?
Well, if he's playing better, if the defense is giving up 37 a game, I think they still ride with him. If he's still playing bad, then it's hurt start. But if they're losing 37-32, then they won't bench him.
Yeah, I get that. But
this defense, 2-7.
If they're 2-7, it's probably has more to do with him.
I don't think they just gave up 37 points.
All right.
I just heard today that four Notre Dame players tested positive for COVID. However, just yesterday, the entire team tested positive for being overrated. There is nothing more overrated in America than the talent of Notre Dame football.
Get the Irish shit, they go helmets out. Let's go.
Northeast Philly is angry right now.
The Irish.
Irish.
We know the two stooges in the front office should go, but what about Girardi? His last 5 years as a Yankee manager, he's averaged 85 wins. That's great for the Baltimore Orioles. Furthermore, he's living off one series. He beat Charlie Manuel in the World Series. That's all he's ever done.
Well, we'll see soon enough. I don't think he's been great this year, but he's Teflon. He's John Gotti this year.
Tyrone, you got me thinking. When you mentioned the snitch coming off the injured list in October, the way this wacky season and wacky world is going nowadays, Wentz and Jeffrey, two enemies, will unite and have their best stretch ever.
Wow. Now that would be a story.
I love that.
That would be on Lifetime.
It's not
that,
possible.
That story. That'd be a little movie. All right, close down, bro.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them.
Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets up.
Yeah, that was sound off. Everybody, listen up. Are you ready for some football? I'm doing the cuz here. The Rod Jaworski Show is coming up next. That's right. He's live from Burns Honda on Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey, 6-7. Stay tuned for the Rod Jaworski Show. Our winners today of the D.B. Johnson Straight Bourbon, it's Gene Hauk, Jerome White, Tony Stango, and Phil Renuto. Congratulations to those guys on General Knowledge Wednesday. All right, good show today. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.